If you want to be a wise guy, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be a strong man, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be an Indian chief, cowboy, you can do it anywhere. You can't do it anymore.
Wrestling Radio. I'm an internet icon and some Jackie Jones along with my right hand man.
1-inch biceps, the power goat. There we go, Jack.
Excellent. You're all fired up because on the line, I've been trying to get him on for years. Formerly Evad, formerly the Equalizer, we have Dave Sullivan on the line. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing great.
So, yeah. Now, I have to say, the first time I saw you, you came into WCW as the Equalizer, but how long had you been wrestling before that?
About 7-8 years.
Oh, like whereabouts?
PNW, Pacific Northwest with Robbie, Japan, Germany, England, Puerto Rico, all those places.
Yeah. Now, I remember when... Did Portland promotion like start to go under when they brought you in?
No, it was still going when they brought me in.
So
it hadn't gone under yet.
I remember at the time. I think you came in with around the same time as the Kongs. Did they come from the same area?
I was a little bit before that.
Mm-hmm. Now, had you grown up watching wrestling?
Off and on. I kind of grew up in Omaha and was around the Gagne and AWA when I was growing up.
Yeah. Now, who were some of the guys in Portland that really helped you out?
Well, Roddy did, the grappler, Lynn Denton, and Billy Jack did too.
Yeah. So how did you go from there to WCW?
Well, I went from there, and I was over in Japan and also Germany, and they kind of picked me up when I was over in Puerto Rico.
Was there anybody in particular who, like, spotted you?
Like Dick Murdoch.
Oh, nice. What was Dick Murdoch like?
Good guy. I roomed with him in Puerto Rico. We were there working together.
Were you like tagging with Dick Murdoch?
We did some tagging, some, but I was usually a single back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was always because he's one of the guys that they always talk about that should be in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, but he isn't because he's like borderline guy. But I always thought definitely one of the best workers I've ever seen.
Yeah, Dick was a hell of a worker.
I also heard he was big on ribs. Did he ever do any ribs with you or on you? Around?
Not me, but he did some to other people. But he never did them to me.
Yeah, you're...
He and I had a pretty good relationship because of the football background.
Oh, okay. I'd say you're just too big.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I read that you used to wrestle against Scott Norton in Japan.
Yep. Oh, Norton, yep. Good guy from Minnesota, a good friend.
Yeah, we had him on the show. Always a big fan of us, Scott Norton. Were those rough matches? You know, two big dudes in the ring together.
Oh yeah, there were some pretty good ones. Oh, Scott, I had some good battles. He's a good man.
Yeah. We had some people here on hold who wanted to talk to you. Ben on the line.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to ask two different questions. So if I could ask the question and then hang on the line and ask my second question, I'd appreciate that. My first question is, you had a chance to actually team up with Hulk Hogan and Sting, arguably two of the biggest names in professional wrestling, especially at that point, in matches against Ric Flair and guys like Arn Anderson. I mean, can you kind of take us back to then and talk about how, I mean, was there ever a moment where you kind of like looked around in the ring and were like, holy cow, I'm in there with some big names. I mean, can you take us back to that point and what you were thinking?
Oh, just kind of, I was kind of feeling kind of fortunate that I got a chance to work with those guys and, you know, what big stars they were at that time and all that. So, I mean, I played some football, so I was around a lot of that type of stuff. So it wasn't overwhelming for me, but it was kind of cool to be around those guys. Those guys were good guys.
I just want to ask, along those lines, when you went from, you know, being the Equalizer to being EVAD, and then you were like the Hulkamaniac, you do more of the comedy stuff, were you cool with that? Was that fun for you, or did you prefer the more serious?
I enjoyed more of the other stuff. I mean, that was part of the gimmick they wanted to do with me, so I kind of went along with it and did it.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, I guess my second question is, how big is your penis?
Oh.
What's that?
It doesn't matter. Incher, you have a question from the message board.
Yeah, I have a question from Change Man. He wants to know who made your colorful ring gear.
When the Equalizer, that Barbarian stuff that I did when I did in Japan, I did that myself. The rest was kind of the ideas that with WCW.
Oh. So you put it all together yourself? That's pretty impressive.
Well, thank you.
Whose idea was it to be Kevin Sullivan's brother?
I think it was a combination of people that were working the office at the time and Kevin both, because they wanted to bring Kevin in and just give him a way to bring him in.
Yeah, what was your relationship with Kevin like?
It was good. I mean, he was a good guy. I mean, Kevin's Kevin, but he's a good guy. I always liked Kevin.
Yeah. He's from...
We got along real well.
Yeah. Now, did that have, like, a long-term goal before you got injured, like like it was going to go a certain place?
I was never privy to all that stuff. I think Kevin kind of kept me in the dark. I think he knew where we were going to go with it, but then, you know, then the injury came up there when we were in Chicago.
Yeah. Then they brought in Cactus Jack. What was that like? I mean, that must have been, you know, upsetting. You were part of a big angle, and then you got, you know, injured.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but... at least we recovered and kept the story going with Cactus Jack. You know, he gave us an opening to keep working it and having some fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were your thoughts on Cactus Jack, Mick Foley?
Oh, I like all. Nick and I always got along real well.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess you worked with the Nasty Boys somewhat.
Yep.
People really like the Nasty Boys. Some people are not fans of those guys. What was it like working with the Nasty Boys?
Oh, it was rugged, but it was fun. I mean, we all worked together well, and it was, you know, some good times together. I mean, they're characters, but they are who they are. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah. Then, you know, from there you went to doing, like, the Hulkamaniac gimmick, and, like, when they approached you with that, what did you think about that? You're basically explaining, like, a big fan of someone.
Oh, I mean, I thought it was a good idea. I mean, it was never heard of that before, so I thought it was kind of a cool thing to try and see how it goes, and just kind of went along with it.
Yeah. Now, I'm a big fan of the theme song that you had, I Want to Be a Hulkamaniac. Do you remember that song?
Yeah, that was Jimmy Hart.
I was just saying, we've been doing the show for 8 years. We've yet to have a guest say anything bad about Jimmy Hart. Maybe you'll be the first. I don't know. But what did you think of Jimmy Hart?
I like Jimmy. A little squirrely, but I liked him. I mean, some of his stuff, but I mean, a lot of his stuff that he come up with worked real well and got over, so that was a big part of it.
Yeah. The last caller brought up, you know, you wrestling Ric Flair, you know, you're tagging with all these, he said it wasn't, you know, overwhelming for you because he came from football and were around the big stars, but, you know, as a wrestler, you're in the ring with Ric Flair, you know, that had to be something special for you.
Well, yeah, he's a great worker and a good man, so, I mean, we, it was fun for me. It was good. I can't complain.
Yeah. Now, where did the, like, the bunny idea come from?
That was, I think it was Kevin.
Hmm.
Yeah, did you...
That was kind of, I mean, that makes sense with Kevin, you know.
Yeah, he's always, the people always say he has a lot of ideas. Some of them are quite out there, but that works.
Yeah, he has some good out there ideas. Yes, he is. He's very good at that.
Yeah. And, you know, you have to work with DDP, who later became, you know, a really big star, and Kimberly, and what was fun?
DDP's a jackass. I mean, he puts on TV now about his weightlifting. Kimberly's a sweetheart. She's a good gal. I'm not surprised they're divorced because he was kind of a dick.
any story?
I mean, you talk about a guy that's so into himself and thinks he's cool as shit. Fuck. Never done a goddamn thing in his life, in real life, as far as ringer sports.
Was there any particular story there you would like to share? Your time, you know?
Not really. Just how he's infatuated with himself.
People have called him DD Knee.
It's all about him. It is. There's no question. That's DDP. I mean, it's DD Knee. You betcha. What can I do for me? And I think that's what Kimberly. She finally got sick of it.
So I think it's safe to say you haven't tried DDP yoga.
Oh, fuck. Isn't that a crack of shit? Excuse my language. That is a bunch of garbage. And it's like him trying to sell, make money. He probably has a hard time making a living right now, so he's trying to do this.
I will say we've had him on the show several times, and you cannot ask him a question that does not come back to a DDP yoga.
Oh, yeah. He's always selling himself, and not always, it's always about me. It's like, would you please give it a rest? Take a chill pill.
Why do you think he became such a, you know?
Because he had Bishop in his corner. Bishop, at that time, Bishop and him were neighbors.
What was Bishop?
He never,
go on, sorry.
Huh?
Go on.
I mean, think about it. Look at it realistically. Did that WWE ever give him a real shot when they took over?
No.
They kind of wrote him off in the sunset. That was all Bishop.
What was your relationship with Bishop like?
Hey, it was okay. It was good. I mean, he's a little chicken shit, but it was good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have no qualms with Bishop, but he's still a little chicken shit.
Yeah. Now, just the DDP real quick again. A lot of people who worked with him said, you know, he would have to plot out, like, every move and every match.
Every fucking thing. Nothing was, we couldn't call shit in the ring. We all had to go down the damn floor and do it and orchestrate it all before we even went anywhere.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we went down to the gym, you know, down in Atlanta, and we walked. I mean, it was like, son of a bitch, can't you just call it in the fucking ring and go with it? You were the heel at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when I went with Rick, we just called a couple, we talked about a couple things we wanted to do, and the rest, he kind of ran because he was the heel.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What did
or if I was the heel, we thought some things, and I'd call it running. I mean, fucking just going out and working and having fun with the crowd.
What were other wrestlers thinking when they would see that, you know, someone who would want to just plot out every move?
Nobody said a word to the Bishop, to be honest with you. Because at that time he had the pencil, so nobody said anything. But I think most of them thought there was a bunch of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jake Snake a lot, and he's a good guy and a very good man. And I know he's helped Jake out and Scott Hall. Both those guys are great guys. I think the world of those two guys. But I'm glad he's helping him out. But shit, he's still a ding dong.
have you talked to him since like your WCW days?
No, I have nothing to do. I fuck that shit. Life's too short for that.
All right. Well, that was good. Anyone from there you worked with? The Big Boss Man, you know, Big Bub at the time.
Shibai, really, God rest his soul. He was a wonderful man. I had a lot of fun working with Big Boss. Good man, good person, good just a, you know, him and Doug and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, gosh damn, two great people.
Yeah. Ours are big.
Just two great people. I mean, just I love them both. Those are great guys, you know. Mm-hmm. Great work. I had a lot of fun working with them and had a lot of fun, you know, just, you know, they're just good people.
Yeah, I would think Bossman really is one of the more underrated of the big guys because he was really agile and
he was for a big son of a buck. He was very agile, very quick, you know, and had a good wrestling mind on it and knew how to get himself over. I mean, he was a great guy to be around. Him and Duggan did too. Duggan was good at that stuff too.
Yeah,
for big guys.
Yeah, I'll say even now, you know, obviously Duggan's an older guy and he's had a lot of health problems, but he goes out there, and no matter how, the crowd, it could be a small crowd, like an indie show, or it could be when he's on Raw, he knows how to get the fans chant for him.
Yeah. You know, just those are great. And I think a lot of those people used to look at DDP and go, what the fuck? Please, God.
We got a caller here. He's calling all the way from Ireland.
Oh, wow.
Hi. Change man here.
Hello. How you doing?
Just want to ask a question. Did you ever get to wrestle outside the USA, like Ireland or any other countries in Europe? Or?
Yeah, but a long time. I've been over in Ireland and wrestled. Yes, I have. England and Ireland, all over there.
What do you think of WWE not hiring? They don't like to hire people over the age of 30. Like, do you think that's a good or a bad thing for the business?
Oh, I think, a lot of WWE is a lot of politics now. And they got the major pull in pro wrestling, and I don't think a lot of things they do are right, and a lot of things they do are wrong. You know what I'm saying? But they got the pencil, so what do? Just like anything else, you go along with it.
Sorry.
Shane, I'm sorry. I just had a final question. Where did you get your ring? Who made your ring gear for WCW?
The once they got out the Equalizer stuff, a lot of that stuff was their idea. Jimmy Hart and those guys.
All right. Yeah, it was pretty cool up there.
Thank you for calling me.
All right. Thanks. Okay, bye.
Thank you. You're welcome, sir.
I think it's like 2 a.m. for him, too, so it was very cool of him to call in.
Oh, no shit. He's up late, buddy.
Yeah. Plus the phone bill. But I have a question, too, because this has come up a lot throughout the years. I mean, I don't know if you know anything about this, but there's always a rumor that Eric Bischoff and DDP were into a wife swapping. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know. I can't say I could quote for sure that I ever saw it, but I heard the same thing when I was wrestling, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the same thing, yes. And I don't want to say anything bad about Kimberly because she was always a good friend and a good gal, so I don't want to say anything negative on her part. But I heard that rumor. I don't know if it's true or not. I have no proof on it, so I don't want to say it's true. But I did hear that rumor, yes.
Uh-huh. You know, you were there when WCW was kind of – it went from a little bit of like kind of the low end of WCW, then it started to really pick up right before like the Nitro took off and stuff.
Yeah, I was there then.
Yeah, could you really see the difference in the company?
I tell you, I thought it got a little bit more. What do you want to say? Open and different kind of like WWE. We kind of shifted gears a little bit and became more like the WWF. But we were getting the ratings. So what do you say? But it kind of got away with the original WCW when I started.
Mm-hmm.
It was when Hogan came in and those guys from WWF came in at that time. We started moving towards more the show biz like WWF.
Yeah. Now you
that was a big that was the biggest change. Other than that, it was still just business as usual.
Mm-hmm. You prefer just more like traditional wrestling over like the glitz and comedy.
I guess I'm old fashioned. Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss those days. I mean, it's all TNA now, you know. But it's selling. So what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Just go along with evolving of wrestling, I guess.
Now, you mentioned, WWE. You mentioned WWE. Did you have you ever had any talks about working for them?
WWE?
Yeah.
Well, we talked a little bit there at the beginning, but then I just, at that time in my life, I decided to get out of it. But, yes, I talked to JJ about possibly coming over there to WWE. And it just didn't seem the timing was right or whatever, so I just moved on.
Mm-hmm. Did you
get out of it? I wrestled part time for a while with some different organizations, and then slowly just retired.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever miss wrestling?
Oh, you always miss certain things of everything. You know what I'm saying. I mean, I miss some things, and don't miss other things. You know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But shit, it's just part of my life.
When you left WCW, could you see like the difference in like? Before you were in the territories, you know, kind of, the last days of the territories, and then you were gone. That pretty much was all gone after CW. Could you really tell the difference?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just, It changed. I mean, and a lot of the guys, and I worked with a lot of the older guys, and they hated the old ways. They loved the old ways where you went from territory to territory, and that way you always had a place to go work. And when this big thing went over, you know, it shortened careers. You only have a certain amount of time to do it, and then you're done. And once you're done because there's no place to go to. Mm-hmm. Unless you go to Japan and stuff like that, but that is not for everybody.
Yeah. What was your experience like in Japan?
Well, I liked it. Every time I went over there, it was very professional. Very well done. I enjoyed it. It was a little more real. It was more real wrestling, which I liked. Mm-hmm. And the Japanese people treated us with a lot of respect, and I really enjoyed my time every time I went back there.
Yeah. Now, I saw that you had once tagged with now JBL, at the time John Bradshaw. Could you tell he would become such a big star in wrestling?
Oh, I knew. You know, what's he doing now?
Now he's a commentator on Raw.
Okay, well, good for him. He's a I used to hang out with him and his wife and everything and his dad. And I mean, they're great guys. Enjoyed the hell out of him. I thought he had. Of course, he did. I mean, he was a big guy like myself, an ex-football player. I thought he had potential to get there. You betcha. I was happy to help him. He's always a good talker. Enjoyed the heck out of him. He's a great guy.
Honestly, in my opinion, I think he's the best color guy in wrestling right now. He's very funny.
Well, good. I don't see it that much, but I'm glad for him because I had a lot of good friendships with him. He's a good man.
Mm-hmm. I also saw that you you tagged with George South a little bit, or you wrestled against him. Or, what are your thoughts on George South?
A good guy. Yeah. A good worker. I had a lot of fun with him. You're bringing back all the old names up.
Well, George here, it's definitely a big friend of In Your Head. We've had him on several times, and sometimes he'll be on the show over 3 hours. So we're big fans of George South.
Really?
Yeah. Let's
talk for 3 hours? Holy cow.
But we won't keep
it. Yeah, he never was short of words.
No, he wasn't.
He's a good guy, though.
Yeah, he still is, and he said he's still a good worker. I think he's actually a better worker now than he was when he's younger.
Well, tell him I said hi.
Well, we're going to have him on in a couple more weeks, so looking forward to
it. Okay.
Yeah. Now, I hate to bring this up, but someone asked on the Facebook page, what are your thoughts on the Wrestling Observer and them naming you the worst wrestling gimmick one of the years, like 95, I think.
I looked at that thing and I kind of laughed because they named Hogan the worst. They've named Ultimate Warrior the worst. I mean, so I'm in good company.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There you go.
You
just sit there. I mean, I looked at who was on that list. A lot of them I worked with and was around, and they were over. So, that's wonderful. Wrestling Reserve, I give you credit. Mm-hmm. But I don't bother me. I laugh because it's just like it's a show.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if anyone thinks Hulk Hogan is the worst of something, and he's
awesome. I mean, Ultimate Warrior was on there, too.
Yeah. Whatever you think of him, he's obviously a huge star at one point.
Oh, yeah, and so was Ultimate Warrior. He made a lot of, both those guys. So you just sit there and you smile and you laugh. Uh-huh. Take it for what it's worth.
Now, you were part of, I believe, the first World War III.
What's that?
World War III, there was the three-ring battle royal.
Yep.
What was that like to work?
Those type of situations, the wrestlers, they drive wrestlers crazy. Just because you never, it's not a thing where you can call and you just run around and try to survive. It's not an easy thing. That's one of the harder things to do in wrestling.
Yeah. I remember it was very hard to watch as a fan because they had to split screens and they had three of them and it was and at that time I didn't have a great big TV, so it was like three little screens on your little TV.
Wasn't easy, was it?
No, I've always said they should have had four rings and then they could have split it up by four on the screen. It's like a big square.
Yeah, I hear you. I got to run. We're good.
We're good. Well, thank you for coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. And doggone it, you guys are good people, and keep it rolling, man.
Thank you.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall. In Your Head, online radio.
All right, and we're back here once again at In Your Head.
Oh, yeah.
Nature boy. Oh, man. And we are ready to rock. We are ready to roll. We are ready to lose control, Intern.
You better believe it, Jack.
Yes. I have actually some. I'm going to... And I need to get something off my chest. I debated if I would bring this up on the show, but I'm going to bring it up.
We're honest with our listeners.
Yes. We're very honest, and I'm going to be honest. This is no bit. This is reality. Recently, I found out that Greg Price, the promoter of the NWA Legends Fan Fest, had removed me from his Facebook page. And I believe anyone out there, if they're a regular listener to the show, knows that we promote the Fan Fest for years. I believe dating back to our first year of In Your Head, 2005, and 2006 was our first Fan Fest that we attended.
Yeah,
and both of us had gone to all the Fan Fests for the last 8 years, except for the last one, which I still attended, but you know, Intra could not. But in some form or fashion, In Your Head has attended every Fan Fest for the last 8 years. And we've promoted every Fan Fest since the beginning of In Your Head. And I know, I'm not going to say we bring in hundreds of people or whatever, but I know there are many people who have come specifically because of In Your Head's involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And nonetheless, so he removed me from his Facebook page, and I was wondering as to why, and I found out because he is offended by my satanic ways.
Do you agree that you have satanic ways?
No. to be quite honest, I believe in Satan as much as I believe in God. And
honestly, I know the answer there.
even if I did, I don't see what difference that makes. And then today... first of all, I thought that was me personally do not want to be part of a show where the promoter thinks I'm some type of deviant or a low life or thinks less of me in any way, and it does not want to be associated with me. And
you didn't ever get that gist by the way he reacted to us at the Fan Fest. Sometimes he's like, "Hey," and then he would just run away.
but that is so different than he. Or Lex, everybody. But,
he's like, it's Ric Flair. Well, I better run. Yeah, I know this motherfucker wants some money.
Today, I noticed something on Facebook. And first of all, I have nothing against this person I'm going to talk about. Actually, I like him quite a bit. I talk to him on Facebook. We share things once in a while. He shared pictures of mine, and I'm a big fan of his music. And that is James Mitchell, the Sinister Minister. I've always thought he's a great manager. I honestly think he's probably the best modern day manager besides guys maybe like Paul Heyman, but really he had got to start in the 80s. But nonetheless, great manager, great talent, very nice guy. I talked to him on the Facebook page, but he is a legitimate Satanist. He belongs to the Church of Satan. Fine. I don't care. I don't care people's personal beliefs. That is up to them. Does not change my opinion of them. But if you are going to book real-life Satanists and promote them as being part of your show, then you cannot take the stance that someone else, because they talk about horror films... And they have pictures of horror movies and of them and their friend dressed as in dark attire or whatever for Halloween. You can't take the stance that they're pushing satanic views on people and you don't want to be associated with them when you and saying that your Christian beliefs are against that, blah, 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 blah. If you are friends with an actual Satanist who is an open Satanist, and then you book him on your show and promote it. So I believe, to me, that is very hypocritical.
Hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was when you told me about this, you texted me, and that's pretty much the point that I made. And then you said somebody else made that point as well, but I won't call them out. But it was a famous person.
Yes. Hmm. Very friendly show.
Hmm.
So that is it for now. Hopefully this will not go further, but if things do go further, you will see a very animated Jackie Jones here on In Your Head.
So, you know, that's just going to send all the podcast marks to needle Greg Price.
I have noticed that many of his stooges, they actually even would tag him in different things on Facebook.
Huh. Well, I mean, it was a good time attending the Fan Fest. It's a shame that it's come to this, but it does seem silly to me. I mean, you know, that he could be friends with a real life, like, you know, Satanist, and then he has some sort of ill will towards you whenever you say you don't even believe in either one. So, I don't know. This is very bizarre.
Yes.
It sucked, though, just, you know, it was fun times going to the Fan Fest, but, yes. I mean...
I personally just, I don't feel welcome.
Yeah,
I don't want to be part of a thing where someone actually thinks,
mm-hmm.
You know, that I'm below them, or I'm some type of deviant, or some type of lowlife that they don't want to position.
And, I mean, I'm not trying to get onto a big thing, but we've always, you know, talked about their shows and really gone out of our ways to try to help promote the shows, and I believe the only show that we actually got, like, a free ticket on was the first one that we attended. Mm-hmm. All the other ones, you know, you've paid for, and I've paid, you know, my share in some of them, and it's like we got nothing for, like, the last 4 years or so. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know, I mean... We did all that for free.
Yes.
It's just like he bent us over a barrel and he gave it to us. And then he said, thanks. He just left us. Left us clinging to that barrel, Jack. Jack, I don't want to go away from this fight with a sore asshole.
Uh-huh.
I want some.
And I mean, I've talked about horror movies since... forever, and I mean, I don't really think if you're offended by something on my Facebook page, whatever. But all the stuff, the pictures, stuff. I mean, it's all movie oriented, or I don't know. I find it very silly.
I'm pretty sure he'll become like the number one fan of Wacko Bob's Get Jack Off In Your Head campaign. What the hell is that Facebook group?
I think it's him and Toast. I think Toast is a big supporter of that as well.
Toast?
Yes.
Like, the guy who's always in the chat room?
Yes.
Is he in the chat room tonight?
Don't believe so.
Damn. I didn't know Toast was like that. Jeez.
But, I do want to, now you brought that up, I do want to say someone, from the history of In Your Head, that, In Your Head fans have done battle with, and has been kind of a whipping boy of In Your Head. But Big Mosh has retired from the Mayhem.
Sad times.
I didn't know it was still around. I honestly did think that it just ended, like, years ago.
It's been off my radar, and I haven't heard a thing about them forever now. So I did kind of think it was over with. But I don't see how they could have a Monday Night Mayhem without Big Mosh.
No, it would, yeah, no. The Big Mosh is Mayhem and Mayhem
Because whenever I remember listening to it, maybe it's evolved into something else, but whenever I would listen to it, it pretty much was just Big Mosh talking his nonsense.
And then you'd quickly have to turn it off.
That was one of those shows. I could not finish, my man. I mean, I would listen to some bad stuff, too. I used to listen to, like, Wrestle This, and that show was just abysmally bad at sometimes, but for some reason, I could stick with it. The Blue Meanie used to co-host every now and then on it. Uh-huh. And I think they did it from some meat locker out of, like, Philadelphia somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But I would listen to that crap not every episode. But when it came to Monday Night Mayhem, I couldn't enjoy it.
This is a true story. We're gonna go back in time here. 2005, we started In Your Head, and very quickly, what is that website? AudioWrestling.com, which was where we all met, primarily through Get in the Ring, and you know those other shows that we listened to on off. But Get in the Ring was our show, and they added us to the Facebook page, and so it was a Get in the Ring. Wrestling News Live, Monday Night Mayhem, and In Your Head all had their own sections. And very quickly, and this is not bragging, Ethan, this is just what happened. You know, Intro, you were there. In Your Head was by far the most popular active message board there.
Mm-hmm.
Mayhem, Wrestling News Live was also active, but In Your Head was most active. And but Mayhem was just mosh. It was just mosh. And he would get very mad. But even before this, I got this call on the phone. And unlike Intro, I'd actually never listened to the Mayhem. I'll be honest, I never listened to it, so I didn't have any thoughts one way or the other about it. But as people know, might not know, a lot of times I sleep until the afternoon. So anyway, I get this call about noon or one, and I'm kind of groggy, and I answer the phone. And this is my home phone. This is when I used to answer the home phone. Now I just let it go to the machine. But anyway, I answer the phone. And there's someone on the line, and they're just nonstop talking. They're like, "This is Macho Man," and he's just this nonstop, and he's going on and on about John Cena's going to be at Buffalo at like some car dealership, and he's like, "You got to go on the Uber Fun board, dude, and post, bro, and you got to post." I was like, "Who is what?" I was like, "Who is this?" And he's like, "This is Big Mosh from the Monday Night Mayhem, your home of wrestling." With this big spiel, so I was like, I must be on air, because no one would talk like this, a normal person. And I was like, "Are we on air?" And he's like, "No, I'm at work, bro." And like, this is how that guy speaks. He talks like this in normal, regular day life.
I could just see his boss staring over his shoulder, just shaking his head like, "Why did I hire this guy?" He's on the phone promoting his little podcast. And he's trying to get some guy to post on his message board.
The Uber Fun message
board. The Uber Fun message board.
It was Uber Fun indeed.
I will say, though, when he booked the Angry Hero on our on our show, and he made us interview him. Well, he didn't make us. But I'll say that the Angry Hero seemed like a good dude. So I hold no ill will towards that gentleman. But
just think of that, though. The man, he went and booked a guest on another show that he saw as popular, and not even himself. He gave us, like, this dude.
Didn't he make some comment like it was nice to talk for once?
Yeah.
After the interview was done.
I think things ended very poorly between the Mosh.
Why don't you fucking like me, bro? Aren't you having an Uber Fun doing a show with the Big Mosh? This is the home of wrestling radio. This is Uber Fun, Angry Hero. And the Angry Hero is just like, "God, I'm going to blow my fucking brains out. Why did I ever agree to do a show with this guy?"
From what I understand, he actually paid people to do the show with him.
Oh, man. Big Mosh, you paid people to be on the show with you? Didn't you just feel like a nasty call girl afterwards or something? Well, I guess you would be the John, you know, because, like, you paid up for their services.
He paid people to be his friend. Oh, man, Big Mosh.
So I'm going to miss him.
Huh?
Won't
there was
you
a
miss
time,
him?
You know this, there was a time when I would just, every time he would say something, I'd say, "Oh, my God, you're hearing what Big Mosh said." And after a while, I'd just quit paying attention to anybody whatsoever, but, you know. those were the days. I remember this is a true story for people out there who are just new to In Your Head. One of our callers, Jobber to the Stars, he had won a Monday Night Mayhem t-shirt. Sure, it was super fun. And when he got said t-shirt, he took it, he spray-painted IYH over the Mayhem logo, and then he proceeded to light the Mayhem shirt on fire, and he taped this and put it on, and this is when Mosh started to call me the David Koresh of the internet. Just said that our fans would walk into traffic for me. And that's when the whole...
Couldn't he said Charlie Manson? I mean, David Koresh, he was kind of a nobody in the cult hero world. The cult leader.
The branch Jack Idiots.
I mean, what did he do? I mean, you know, all he did was just... I don't know. A bunch of people got burned up in a house.
He had sex with a bunch of all the women, though.
Yeah, okay.
Well, maybe that'd be pretty cool. But, yeah, so, yeah, and that's when... That's where
you stop making all your sexual jokes towards me. If you had a harem of women, you're like, fuck the Incher, screw it. You know, Incher, screw it. I'm going to go bang this broad.
And so, I will actually, I better not say it, but I will thank you out there. Someone sent me topless photos yesterday. Show, but
topless photos.
Yes,
it wasn't a
female. It was a
female. Oh, okay.
It was not Jimmy Jam. So anyway,
don't get any ideas, Jimmy Jam.
We could talk about Big Mosh all night, but that did lead to the all kinds of good times. It was a different time, and in here it was a different time in Jack's life. He was I was in my late 20s, and I was very angry.
So, what are you now?
I think I'm much more mellow. I think I'm a much more mellow man. I'm not at that time. I was fighting with Mosh. And we would, like, lead the In Your Head people to just... We would berate that guy. We would send all the people over on his page and call the people...
I don't recall making any of these rallies to go destroy his page.
I do.
Was that because you're behind it?
No, to be honest, I think they just kind of rallied and get behind it. Just what?
People love hearing a good fight.
Boy, he really brought it on himself. He would come over and demand respect. He would come over and say, I went to college, and these are just two jamokes, a couple of jamokes in their basement with a computer.
Yeah, he would boast about his broadcasting, his degree or whatever the hell you call it. Spoken like a true podcaster there. A broadcasting degree or... whatever the hell you call it.
Well, can you imagine if you did go to college like for 4 or 8 years to do this, and then you were the Mosh? Yeah, it would be pretty disheartening.
I love his pictures. He's got pictures and he's like hanging and banging with Molly Holly, and you can tell he's at an autograph signing. It's like you're not hanging out with her.
There's like a stack of 8x10s, and he's just bent over the table with a thumbs up. This is how I hang out with all my buddies.
Man.
One with Edge, and again, it was an autograph. They were all autograph signs. he was the source of much amusement throughout the years of In Your Head. Good times. I remember clearly going with Casino Man, using fake names and destroying them in the chat room. I believe in karma, because I was quite a troll back in the day, and it's all come back on me.
I don't think you've ever gotten as bad as what we've given to Mosh, have you? Well, you have got it pretty bad sometimes, though.
think pretty bad. I don't know. I used to be pretty bad to you, Incher.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all out of love.
Yeah.
I do want to thank dcambrose.net, by the way. They posted our interview with him from a few years ago when he was Jon Moxley, and it's been getting a lot of hits. So thank you very much, dcambrose.net.
Excellent.
I hope that doesn't get him in trouble with WWE.
Nah, shouldn't. It was before he was a WWE employee. It's not like he went and wrestled for TNA or nothing.
Right. Right.
that's the worst thing you could ever do if you're working in WWE. Mm-hmm. It's wrestle for TNA.
Now, do you think people in WWE, now do you think they just think the wrestlers in TNA are so bad? I think the idea is if we send out the mentality that if you work for TNA, you have no shot of ever going to WWE, that stops anyone who has the potential to be a star from working to TNA, working with TNA. And it's really it's a very sneaky way, I think, of stopping any, potential superstar independent-level wrestlers from ever going there.
Yeah, I think it is a very sneaky way of, keeping people out of TNA. But I do think there are people on the top, probably Vince and maybe a few others, who do believe that everybody in TNA is just completely worthless. You know, they have no wrestling skill. They can't talk on the mic or anything because they're not in WWE.
Yeah.
Because it's whenever they would bring in guys like Taz or
Oh, yeah, yeah. They go out of their way to make sure that these guys are showcased as nobodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taz was one of them. There's been several.
Raven.
Yeah, Raven. Yeah, he really got a stinky role in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Guys, a lot of guys came from WCW were treated the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's people one person on the Facebook page who just thinks every single TNA employee is just the total shits.
I think it goes without saying that, there's a lot of TNA talent. I mean, there's a lot of good guys in that company. I think everybody knows that. But
I hate the idea when people say, someone does something in TNA, it shows that, they're not a draw or they can't be a draw, because it's very narrow-minded, because TNA itself is not a draw, so no one there can draw.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that Sting, Hulk Hogan, Bubba Ray, Nash, Jeff Hardy, Kurt Angle, every single guy that's ever gone through that company is not a draw. That just means that no one watches that show, no one's really, besides this group audience that always going to watch it anyway. It's, if it had some type of, audience or some type of where people knew it existed, when they would bring in guys like that, it would boost ratings even for a week, but it doesn't, so no one knows it's there. But that doesn't mean that Kurt Angle is a nobody because he's not drawn in these huge crowds for TNA. It's people don't watch TNA.
It's very true, because anybody who leaves WWE, it's not like they necessarily become this huge superstar in themselves,
No. There's no other place that's near the level of WWE to work where, they could go and be something.
No.
Make a difference. They just can't. There is no WCW.
So depressing, because I would like to see a day where just some company is up there with WWE. They pose some sort of a threat to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't think we're ever going to see it.
Weeble brought up, last time a person made a bad choice to go to TNA over WWE, Desmond Wolfe, but like Dwayne brought up, that wasn't his choice. It was WWE wouldn't hire him because either had previous injuries or he had hepatitis B or C, whatever, and so they didn't bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like he decided, you know what, I'm going to go to TNA.
Yeah, I remember when that stuff was going down, it was like he was ready to go to WWE and everything, and then all of a sudden he just ended up in TNA.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing about like reports about him being injured or something like that, but might have been the disease, who knows.
Yeah, it was kind of back and forth there. It was either the disease or hurt, but either way, it was he failed the physical, I believe.
Nah. Man. That's got to be a shitty way to find out you got something.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't get to work here, and on top of that, you got some horrible disease.
Colt Cabana on, he's on Alvarez, like Wrestling Observer Live, and he seems very, it's basically like he wants to go to WWE or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's kind of depressing.
Like, is he working in the independents right now?
Yeah, he works indies, but, you know, he even said this. He said, like, he's on indies, and he sees these guys, and, like, he sees Tracy Smothers, and this is a guy who worked, you know, really hard to get to the WWF. He got there as Freddie Joe Floyd. He was, like, fired immediately, and then he's like, basically, what does he do after that? He just waits to get booked on the next indie show or to see if WWE is ever interested in him again. Again, he's like, that is the life of, like, a non-WWE wrestler, is you're just constantly waiting to either go back to the WWE or just to get booked by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a very bleak, depressing outlook.
Hmm. You think he's ever just jealous of CM Punk?
Probably.
Yeah.
So. I've heard now they're saying that Chris Hero, a big reason why he was let go was he told other people that he sees some guys, you know, went to the WWE and they're not nearly on the level, not nearly as talented as he was. And then he was wondering why he was still in developmental, and they went and stooched him off, and then they fired him.
Who could he have been talking about, though?
Like, for recent people?
Yeah, I mean, like, who could he have been talking about? I mean,
like the S.H.I.E.L.D. guys, like, I wouldn't say he's any more talented than Ambrose, and I wouldn't say he's more talented than Tyler Black. Possibly you could argue he's more talented in the ring than Reigns, but Reigns definitely has the charisma and the look, and I actually think he's very talented too, so I don't think you could say any of those guys. I don't really pick recent guy, like Claudio is great, that has been brought up.
He always would talk about him being his protege.
Yeah.
And I always just thought Claudio was way better than Chris Hero.
I always did, too. I thought he was better in the ring. Much better, you know, I think look and charisma, look-wise, definitely is no...
Yeah, I think look-wise, he's just murdering Chris Hero in that department.
I've never been sold on Chris Hero as a wrestler, to be honest. I always thought he really just overused the elbow. Like, whenever I'd seen him live, it was just, like, constant elbows.
Hmm.
Forearms and... I don't know, I always saw Claudio just blew him away, like, in every way, basically.
It's good to have confidence, though. That's good to be, you know, be a performer like that, but I don't know. I don't buy it in Chris Hero's case. I don't think he's any more talented than anybody. I'd have to have some names that he was talking about.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And all those people that you mentioned, I think they're better than him.
Mm-hmm.
I could argue Tyler Black. I'm not sold on that guy 100%. He's good in the ring, on the mic. I don't think he's quite there.
I don't think he's nearly as good as Tyler Black as a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't a fan of Tyler Black before WWE, but his S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff has really sold me on him. He's been great. He's a real very important part of that group.
Mm-hmm.
For their man matches. I mean, unless he meant someone's already there. I mean, there's some guys that are really just kind of there. Not really anything. But I don't know what. You know, speaking of guys who are just there.
The guys that are just kind of there and who aren't really anything. Would the poster boy be like a Tyson Kidd or a Kofi Kingston?
Those are good ones.
Or who else?
Kofi Kingston. This guy. I want to talk about this guy. You brought up Kofi Kingston. All right. So Kofi Kingston and The Miz, they were friends. They split up. They had matches. They had a feud. They had a match on the last pay-per-view, pre-show match. Had several matches on Raw and SmackDown. Then inexplicably, they're friends again and tag partners again. And then they split up again. This is bad story writing. This is bad storytelling.
Oh yeah.
Is the shits. It's not good. That is not how you write. If this was a show besides wrestling, whoever wrote it would be fired. The show would probably be canceled. I mean, if you were watching, what show do you like besides
Boardwalk Empire? Say like Al Capone. All of a sudden, he's friends with like some other mobster that he tried to kill last week.
Right. Let's say Chalky White enter.
Mm-hmm.
Chalky White and Doctor whatever the doctor
Narcisse.
Doctor Narcisse. Now they split up. I mean, they hate each other. What if the next week they came back? And they were just friends, just out of the blue. No storyline as to why. All their back animosity is just totally forgotten, and now they're buddies. They're hanging out. They're going to clubs.
Oh, I'd be like, screw this show.
Yeah, you would just think this show's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not watching this anymore. And I'm not saying wrestling has to be have like a sophisticated storytelling as like writing as like Boardwalk Empire, but it should have like basic concept of week to week.
Well, they're the ones who set in place that they should have like all these Hollywood writers and everything. They're the ones who, you know, trying to make it like it's this episodic program, you know? So it's like if you are that, then how could you have a mistake like this?
Yeah, they're writers. They hire guys that wrote soap operas, which is like basically like a step up from like writing pornography.
No. Which one of you bottom feeders can I get you to write my program?
I mean,
who wants to write some wrestling?
If you were to talk to like an actor, I think that, you know, besides doing hardcore porn, soap opera acting would be like the next step in like doing something that has no respect. Maybe like an ad for like douche or Vagisil.
Vagisil? You don't see too many guys in that commercial, though.
Well, an ad for like
this is Morgan Freeman. I want to tell you about Vagisil.
For boner pill. Like, I cannot get an erection.
I like the one commercial that has the football guy. He's like, he's promoting diapers for grown-ups. And he's like, I don't have to use these, but if I did, I would use these. It's like, nah, you got to go balls out if you're going to be on the diaper program, you know? You got to be like, I totally wear these motherfuckers.
I shit myself all the time.
I mean, if you're going to be promoting it, you can't go just, you can't pussyfoot around. You got to do it. Even if it's a total lie. I mean, how does that make somebody feel if the spokesman is like, I don't need these, but if you do, these are the brand you need.
Yeah. I don't shit my pants, but if I did...
I am putting my hat in the ring. I will totally be the diaper guy.
Yeah, I'll
promote him. I'll say, yes, I need diapers. I almost shit myself going to the Wendy's.
So just think about this. So in WWE terminal, in their mind, in their psyche, they're like, we can't hire people to write wrestling who were former wrestlers because former wrestlers and people who knew wrestling are total fucking idiots. They're morons. They're backwood hillbillies. They're just like the dumbest people alive. Let's hire people who write soap operas. This entertainment that is dying off, that's being canceled, that no one respects. And why do
Did
they
you
have
see
to
Days of Our Lives the other night? Oh, superb storytelling.
Why do they have such disdain for people who work in the business that they do?
It's cause wrestling is ran by psychopaths. they don't think rationally. They're just like, we need a bunch of soap opera writers. We don't need anybody with experience.
Why? It's like all of a sudden, this has happened. This is just like this mentality of recent years, because forever wrestling was booked, was written, whatever you want to call it, by people in the wrestling business. Then all of a sudden, they're like, nope, people in the wrestling business are morons and idiots. We have to hire people from Hollywood. What does that say about your own business?
It's decisions like this that when people, you know, say to me Vince McMahon is a genius, I just can't agree with him. I think he's just got lucky. Because, I mean, like you say, it doesn't take a genius to hire up all the top talent from across the nation.
Like, if I went there, like, you know what, I'm going to go out and make a movie, and I'm going to go put, you know, George Clooney in it, and Brad Pitt, and, I mean, yeah, people probably going to go see that. If you go and hire every major star, that's, Ocean's movies. They stink, but they have, like, every major star in the world in them, so they do well.
There you go. I mean, I can't understand it, but did you read the thing on the board there that was talking about, they actually made this storyline before they realized that The Miz was on a made-for-TV movie?
Yes.
Where he's supposed to be, like, this jolly, happy guy who's celebrating Christmas or something. Yeah.
So he has to turn face for the debut of the movie, but then he turned heel, like, on the same show.
It's like they came to their senses. They're like, you know, that movie really isn't not going to do anything. It's like just turning back to a heel.
But during the same show, they're like, we got to turn him face with no face turn after we just turned him heel, then let's turn him heel again.
It's like they didn't even have time to watch the movie yet. It's all on the same show.
Who is going to watch it anyway? Who in their right mind is going to watch that movie?
That doesn't have to be like some sort of write-off for them. Just like, we made it.
And the people that are going to watch it, they're going to watch it because they got little kids, or they're just some, you know, idiot woman who just watches anything.
They don't know that The Grinch Who Stole Christmas exists.
Yeah, they watch this bullshit made-for-TV movies. They're never going to watch wrestling. They're not going to say, holy shit, look at this guy. Wow, this is a great act. I'm going to go start watching Raw now. That's not going to happen.
Fucking guy from the real world's all sensitive and shit. I better watch some wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Fucking bitch. How?
He was in the Marine.
You know what? I don't even mind Kofi. I think Kofi Kingston's good, but he is just a total loser. He is a total schmuck, a total bum, loses every... Why would anyone care? How are you supposed to care about him?
What has he done? I mean, he had to piss somebody off in the back.
But yet he's on TV every single week.
Man.
Bad News Barrett.
Ha 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 guess they're doing something with him. I'm bad news, Bart. Now I've got some bad news. It seems the people who write soap operas think that I deserve this gimmick. And now I'm here to have segments of Monday Night Raw.
This shit.
Freaking bad news, Barrett. What do you think about his gimmick?
It was awful. He came out there and I was like, what? He's got a podium? Usually when a guy just has a podium and just starts talking, it's just like, what? And then, like, he just talked about being constipated. Just terrible. It really seemed like some weird Russo gimmick from like the late 90s, where you would just have to try to get everyone in on the show, and sometimes it worked, and sometimes you just have like these horrible segments, and that's really what it seemed like. I can't imagine this is gonna last. What is it about when this guy just is? This guy just gets constant like pushes.
I don't know. He does get a lot of pushes, so it's like that he somebody likes him or something. I don't know.
How will this lead? What will this lead to? Like, how does he have feuds? Like, he just comes out and his podium, and he's like, I've got bad news.
I've got some bad news. It seems, R-Truth, y'all going to be beaten by me. And then he goes out there and beats him.
Bad news. God. What did you think of it? I know you're a big Wade Barrett fan.
I'm like the biggest, ain't I? it's something different, I guess, and they're giving him something to do. I don't know. And it would have been good if it was like some good material or something, but he just comes out and he's like, you all just ate Thanksgiving. You're all clogging your arteries. It's like, come on, man. We've heard this a million times.
Like, I don't... How's who... Well, what is that going to lead? I don't know. Is some fat ass just going to come out and say, you know, I like to eat gravy.
No, that would be my favorite character on Monday Night Raw. The fat ass who comes out and says, I like gravy! God damn you, Wade Barrett! How dare you talk bad about a gravy!
Gravy Paul McGee.
I mean, they already got the song they can have to bring it out. There you go! He comes rolling on out there, just all fat as can be.
What if that was like Lord Tensei's new gimmick, where he just was this guy ate gravy?
Yeah, I guess him and Brodus are falling out of love with one another, so he could be the guy who eats gravy. Every now and then he could beat up some Japanese dude. Make fun of his eyes.
Yeah. What about that? Are you all pumped for the big breakup between Brutus and Lord Tim?
It's funny that like he's like this funkadelic kind of guy and he comes out and then all of a sudden he's a fucking asshole. he's like, yeah, somebody been calling my mama, and he's like, fuck you. He's like, how could you mess up our finisher?
But then he comes out to the next week. He's got new moves. He's doing like this really like the lazy man, like a pelvic thrust. It's like one thrust. It's like one thrust and done. He's like, ugh.
And he's got horns on his back.
What was that? That was weird. That was like, I think it's creepier when the guy's doing like the pelvic thrust and then he just does one. Then if he would just do like a bunch of them, like maybe he'd laugh, but he just does like this one and then he just kind of stops.
Well, speaking of pelvic thrusting, I think Mark Henry totally wants to bang Summer Rae.
Uh-huh.
He seems to like her a little too much.
Can you blame him?
I guess I can't.
They're just, those people are just crazy over white women.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Henry. It was fun watching him dance, though. And he kind of did, like, the dance, the scratch my head and rub my belly dance.
I'm good at that. Yeah, I'm doing it right now. I can rub my belly and pat my head at the same time.
Well, is it scratch your head or just pat your head?
Pat your head. You pat your head so it's like up and down motion while you're putting your belly in a circle motion. And a lot of people can't do those two separate motions.
Now I can do it.
I can too, but a lot of people cannot.
I'd like to meet this person.
I think it's a majority of people.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't seem that complicated to me.
You're probably like the smartest man in West Virginia.
And make me mayor for this. I can pat my head. Mm-hmm. And rub my belly at the same time.
So, you know, I did notice they really are pushing tag team. Well, they really do have tag teams at WWE. Like, this whole show is tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if there's one team I really gave a shit about.
You didn't care about Los Manadors?
No.
They're selling stuff.
You know what? Some of those segments are funny. This one was bad. This was bad. This was a bad selling segment.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing, they only spoke a few lines in English. The rest of it was whatever.
Yeah, it was bad. But, I don't know, those guys, the puker, Titus O'Neil and Evan Young, whatever. I can't remember half these people's names.
Darren Young. You said he was friendly to you at the Johnny Rockets.
He was.
And you forget the poor man's name.
They don't seem to care at all about him. It's all about Titus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tons of Funk? Truth and Tiger Woods?
Truth and Tiger Woods? Man.
Xavier Woods.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like the Xavier Woods a little bit. He seems like he could go somewhere, maybe, but
I'm
probably won't.
Even though it's only just started, I think he had more charisma in TNA. I liked him better as Truth, as Consequences Creed.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a better look. Now he just kind of looks dirty. Kind of looks like a sleeve.
Oh, yeah, it was like a mustache.
Yeah, but it's like a dirty-looking mustache.
How dirty a mustache can make you.
It does. He looks like a dirt ball now. He was, like, fun-loving when he was Consequences Creed. Now he's just kind of like, man, the guy's just, like, dirty. Kind of scummy-looking.
All right.
I don't know.
I guess you're just a big Brodus fan. You're pissed that he's hitting on your ladies.
I love Brodus.
You have since day one.
Uh-huh. Maybe he'll finally... Do you think if he turns heel and he is just like a killer, do you think like this will rejuvenate his career?
He's like, I used to be into funk, but now I like to kill people. That's quite the switch.
Uh-huh. Could you imagine Mattress between him and Ice-T? Or Sweet-T, whatever the fuck his name is.
Ice-T?
Sweet-T.
I was like, isn't he on like SVU or something like that?
Is it just me or... I honestly can't remember half these people's names anymore.
I have my moments where I forget their names.
They're like a bunch of schmucks.
They're doing a lot of changes, and it's hard to keep up with everybody.
bunch of fucking losers out there.
You never forgot, like, Mick Foley's name.
No! Even Head Cheese. Like, that's Steve Blackman. And that's, like, that's about as low as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Them are like, Scotty Too Hottie.
Pete Gass.
I remember him. I remember Pete Gass.
They need to bring him back.
I can't remember Bad News Allen or Barrett. I think I well remember that one, actually. Bad News Barrett.
It's like, where are they going to go with that gimmick? I mean, what's he going to do? I guess he's going to start to wrestle once again.
They'll probably just forget about it in a couple weeks. And he'll do something else.
Exactly. Bad News Barrett.
Mm-hmm. It was bad news.
Did you watch any TNA?
Well, let me just finish some of the stuff I wanted to talk about in Raw.
All right.
It was really weird to see Kane just talk like a normal guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, you sold out. So he could just stop being like crazy at any point in time if he wanted to, according to this?
I guess so. I mean, if the job demands it, he could stop. He could turn it off.
Yeah, seems pretty stupid.
Mm-hmm.
What else was on that show? Oh, well, they're talking about the pay-per-view, and like, there's 2 3-on-1 handicap matches.
Yep, CM Punk, he's going to take on... Is he taking on the Shield? And then Daniel Bryan is going to take on the Wyatt family.
Mm-hmm. Who the hell wants to see 3-on-1 handicap matches? There might be 2 of them.
Yeah, really.
It's off. That's terrible booking.
And we get the unification match, so I don't know. The card, it doesn't seem so hot. I mean, John Cena and Randy Orton in a match... We've seen it several times before. It's never very memorable.
No, it's seen probably about 500 times.
Yeah, and it's like, then we got the other two big standouts, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. They're locked down in a match, the 3-way matches.
Yeah, not even 3-way matches, 3-on-1 matches.
Just
that's
straight up 3-on-1.
Yeah, it's really weird. Now, at the last pay-per-view, I would say the best part of that pay-per-view, the most memorable part, was having having Reigns be, you know, starting to showcase him as the main guy. He kicked everyone's ass, went through 4 people in that Survivor Series match. So you would think, logically, you would continue that into the future until he finally turns face. But no, we go from that to now he's in a handicap match where he's outnumbering a guy. It just seems really dumb. Counterproductive. I don't see who wins there. Who comes out better in that? It's like if Punk wins, he beats 3 guys and all 3 of those guys look like total, you know, schmucks because he got beat by 1 guy, or 3 guys beat 1 guy, and who gives a fuck? Like, well, they should beat 1 guy. 3 guys should always beat 1 guy. And the same thing in the Wyatts match. Either all 3 of the Wyatts get beat by 1 little guy, or they beat up 1 guy. Who cares?
Classic WWE D-pushing.
Yes.
Move these guys down the card.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, they were asking Daniel Bryan to be part of the Wyatts. It's like, so the Wyatts are just, like, based off having beards? That's, like, what they're all about? Like, you got a beard, you can be in the Wyatts. Why are they called the Wyatts? When they all different, the only one of them is a Wyatt. The other ones are like Rowan and something else. They're not even related.
Yeah.
I can see being the Wyatt clan because they're led by Wyatt, but when they just start calling them the Wyatts, it really doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the most embarrassing promo I've ever seen by CM Punk.
when he was backstage with the girl there.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm pretty, oh so pretty, and gay. What the hell? That was bad.
I think that's CM Punk just thinking, man, I thought I was coming back to this company to make a difference, and now here I am. I'm not going to renew my contract.
Terrible. Yeah. And then, so it led to another contract signing. That's always exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I did see some people that were just, like, going goo-goo over the promo.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think it was good.
I didn't like it because it just made Randy Orton look like a total goof.
Yeah, it was just all about Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he shouldn't have. He really didn't win the belt. It's Triple H. Triple H, you know, got him the title. And he's never lived up to his, like, potential and all this stuff. And it's like, well, why is he the champion if he's not good?
Mm-hmm.
Just because of Triple H? And how does that make me excited to see the match?
I don't think that was very professional of John Cena either. Like, maybe that's what they told him to do, but just to go out there and just shut the guy down, and he's not even, like, really running an angle with him. He's just telling him how he had so much potential, but he kind of squandered it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how's that good for the wrestling fans?
It's not. There's something I actually heard Steve Austin say, and it did make sense. He said, when you see these promos now, and it's two guys are going back and forth. You know, they're fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the one guy will stand there and say all the scripted lines, while the other guy just stands there and watches them and waits for his turn to say his scripted lines. And it comes off so fake. Because if you were really arguing with a guy, you wouldn't just stand there and wait patiently till he was done. And how would you even know when he was done? Unless you knew, you know, when he was going to stop talking beforehand. You would, you know, there's no, it's not spontaneous. You know, it's just, like, so scripted, and it takes away all the passion. It's one guy's like, blah, 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 and the other guy just stands there and watches. Well, he does this whole spiel, and then he talks, then the other guy talks. It's just, it's very corny, and it has this feel that you know it's not real. There's just something missing there. And it's not something I thought about before until Austin talked about it. And I was like, you know what? He's right.
Yeah. It's definitely a problem when they don't let guys get out there and cut their own promo of some sort. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really didn't like that finishing promo because it was just... It was just John Cena just spouting his stuff about Randy Orton's downfalls. And, like, meanwhile, like, doesn't all the fans just boo John Cena?
They did. I will say they did cheer him.
Every other week they're booing him.
That same somber face he makes when he's trying to do a serious promo. It's so corny with all that stuff. He's like, that's what I think, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
I mean, I know John Cena's accomplished a lot in his career, but who really is he to be talking down to Randy Orton? I don't know. I mean, maybe they wrote that for him. I guess they did, because they say everything's written on Monday Night Raw. But
if you want to build up a match where it's champion versus champion, the winner takes all, belt versus belt, one champion... You want to build up both those guys as much as possible.
Yeah.
When they did Warrior versus Hogan, IC versus the world title, and it wasn't even a unification match, it's just the winner was going to become the champion, they built both guys up huge. It's like, you know, it was the best versus the best.
You kind of want that, you can't predict what's going to happen.
Yeah, do you really think Randy Orton's, like, on the level here, or he's just always positioned as just like a stooge to Triple H?
Mm-hmm. Hmm, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it definitely doesn't seem like they're equals going into this match. That's for sure.
No.
Very poor. I'll be happy this one champion.
Yeah.
But, like this. I mean, you've had 12 years to build this, and this does not seem epic.
And the one champion is John Cena.
Do you think he'll be it?
Like, I don't know, maybe because they buried Randy Orton so much, they might give him the win, but I don't know. I think Cena might pull it out.
I don't think I'd even want to see that anyway. I wouldn't want to see Triple Orton.
Yeah, I don't want to see either guy as the one champion.
Mm-hmm.
Would be good in WWE to carry the belt, though?
One guy.
I think everybody was pretty hyped up about Daniel Bryan a month ago.
That would have been good. I mean, now it's too late, but that would have been good. I mean, Cena. I put this on Facebook page, and I know a lot of people disagree, but okay, let's say Cena does it. All right, and sure, he unifies the belt that he is the one champ. And then you go to WrestleMania. Now, who's the one guy that made WrestleMania the guy that a lot of people really think of as the champ, the WWF champion? That's Hulk Hogan. So you got the unified champion, the guy that personifies the 2000s. You got John Cena versus the guy that put WrestleMania on the map, the guy that made the WWF title mainstream at WrestleMania 30, Hulk Hogan. I think that would be a big match. I want to see it. Hulk Hogan, John Cena for the Unified Championship at WrestleMania 30.
It sounds like it would definitely have that, a big match feel going into it. But
yeah.
I don't know if they could, deliver a good match.
I think they could have a good spectacle. I think actually Cena's a guy that could have some type of match with Hogan that would be fun on some level. And at the end of the match, I think Cena has to win. And I put this on Facebook. Cena wins. Then you have some heels come in. You have Cena and Hogan, team up, battle them off. They do pose down this together, and people grow mappy.
Hmm.
I think it would be fun. What else are you going to do?
That WrestleMania.
Yeah. Would you rather see that, or would you rather see Randy Orton versus John Cena?
I'd like to see Brock Lesnar versus John Cena.
I would like to see that, too. But, I mean, he already beat him.
Yeah. John Cena beat Brock, but, Brock would, want his comeuppance and prove that he is the champion.
Lester's already gone there. Well, how about, would Brock win?
Is his contract up?
No, but would Brock win the Royal Rumble then?
That'd be neat. That would be a hell of a surprise entrance, too. I don't think people would be expecting that. Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. I saw on Facebook. I think it was DeSanto, not El Santo, but he was saying he really wants to see Brock versus Axel, Curtis Axel. That was his dream, his WrestleMania dream match.
No, I can't agree with that one. I know you're all for it, but. No, I don't necessarily want to see that one. I don't think I'd care if Curtis Axel is anywhere on the WrestleMania card.
No.
Even though I do kind of feel bad for the guy. I don't think I'd care if he wasn't anywhere. But Brock Lesnar and John Cena had a hell of a match last time. It got people, on their feet. They really cared about that match when it happened. There's, more than just wrestling fans was talking about that match. And it's like, that's the type of match that you need to have on your biggest show of the year. You need something that people are really going to talk about. They've done Cena and The Rock, and people talked about that, but now they need something else. And I would like to see it because I think Brock would actually run a wrestling angle. You know? It would be a guy who could stand up to Cena, and it would feel believable that, you know, he's a legitimate threat.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I'd like to see. I think Hogan could, too, and that's definitely a big match appeal to it. But I think, you know, this day, you know, you really want to see something that's going to deliver. Yeah, Hogan could pull it out and bring you know, a good spectacle, like you say. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd be interested in seeing both of them, but I think I'd prefer Lesnar and Cena at WrestleMania. But we've heard rumors about Brock Lesnar going up against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not.
No. I would rather see Hogan. I want to see Hogan and Cena. We've already seen him. It's really too bad that he's already lost all these matches, because you could make so many big matches with Lesnar. Like, who's going to beat Lesnar? But he's already been beaten three times out of, like, six matches or whatever, so it's just too bad. They really just only screwed themselves.
I know. They got this huge superstar just awaiting, and they just squander it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did with Daniel Bryan. And I don't know. It's like, at this time, you guys could really use a huge star other than John Cena. I mean, the fans are totally sick of John Cena all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Why are they shooting themselves in the foot with all this stuff? Doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you want to take some calls?
Yeah, I think I'm spent. I really didn't have anything about Impact.
All right. Fuck you, Impact.
I can't remember. I watched it. I swear I did. So if anybody wants to talk some TNA Impact, mm-hmm. I can do it with you. Dixie Carter, she's fun to watch.
No, she's not.
She's not, but that's why you like watching her.
Jeez, the shit. Someone brought up, though, I think it was Clinton. He said that, if you think about it, the way Hulk Hogan left TNA Impact, the way he left TNA Wrestling, like, he left and the owner of the company was, like, humping his leg, begging him to stay. Boy, did that make the company look like total shit.
You know, he probably just masturbates to that one. He's like, you know, Vince would never have done that for me. But I got that Mark to get down on her knees and beg me to stay, and then I left. Oh, yes. It feels so good. Needs that, too, because he has just been, you know, getting delivered to shit in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets off on it, God bless him, let him get off on that. His wife took him for everything he's worth. he's been turned into this degenerate who's rubbing his daughter's ass, baby oil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Hulkster, he needed it. He's banging his buddy's wife. He needs something, so just let him have that moment. Leaving a wrestling company with the owner begging him to stay.
There was something else I wanted to bring up about. Sin Cara has been replaced by Hunico.
Yeah.
And I think it's a huge improvement. It's much better. He doesn't just fall on his face. He doesn't twist his thumb and just quit. He is much, much better. And then I was listening to Alvarez and Meltzer, and they just went on and on and on saying about how much worse he is than Mystico. They're saying he's so much slower, he's a worse worker, he doesn't have the charisma, and the only thing that was bad about Sin Cara before is WWE beat him down so much and people stopped caring about him. I'm like, they didn't even watch the show.
Yeah.
He's awful.
They
really tried to push the guy.
They pushed him. I mean, and he came out and he just got injured in every match.
Yeah, because he sucks.
He totally deserved it.
If you can't wrestle unless you wrestle one guy, if you can only have a good match for one guy in the world, that does not make you a good worker.
No.
If Ric Flair could only have a good match when he wrestled Ricky Steamboat, he wouldn't have been a great wrestler. He would have been shit. If he would have went out there and just fell on his face and botched every move, botched his finisher, if he wrestled anybody except for Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, people would have thought this guy is great. This guy's the man. They would have thought this guy is the shits who has to be carried by someone else great. And if he has to be carried by Hunico, which is funny, too, because the only guy he could wrestle that he had good matches with was Hunico. But yet they say Hunico is the shits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was the one guy that could get a match out of Sin Cara. It's like they used to say, Ric Flair is the one guy who could get a match out of Elegante. Hunico was the one guy that could get a watchable match out of Sin Cara. Fuck that guy. Fuck you, Mystico. Just because he's Mexican and he won the Wrestling Observer Award for Best Wrestler in 1999 or whenever the hell it was, 2008. Big friggin' deal. I watch him on my TV and he blows. And all of, then I see people on Facebook, and they're like, well, I should have sent him to developmental. It's WWE's fault. The guy's been on the WWE for 2 years.
I have never heard anybody say, like, they should send this person to developmental.
No! Developmental just started. In the grand scheme of wrestling, back in the day, someone didn't, we're going to send Ric Flair to developmental. We better send Harley Race down to developmental. Because mm-hmm. he works at NWA style before he comes here to the WWF. No, if the guy is a great wrestler and a great worker, then he can go to the WWF and adapt. WWE and adapt. If not, then he's not good.
And what sort of big surprise do you get if they send the dude to developmental and you know he's there for months and then he finally comes to TV?
Would have made no difference. If he can't learn how to wrestle in WWE, being on the road, being on TV, being on pay-per-view, working with the actual stars of the WWE in 2 years, then how would he have learned to wrestle their style being in developmental? It would have made no difference.
Mm-hmm.
You learn how all those guys, you ask any of those guys, they learn more once they go to the WWE because you're working with guys that are better than you. You're not working out with guys that are on the same level with you. And you're working in front of real crowds. That's how you improve. Even the guy from the Wyatt, who I gave a lot of shit to, the redheaded guy, he's improved a lot since he's been in WWE. Because he's working with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. He's working with guys that can really wrestle. And then he improves. If he was stuck in developmental wrestling guys on his same level, he would never improve.
Yeah. It's kind of like you come to the big show, it's either sink or swim, you know? And, like, it'd probably weed a lot of guys out, honestly, that just kind of suck and they'll never do nothing. But I agree. Hunico getting the Sin Cara role, he totally deserves it. Because it's like that Mystico guy, he came in and he gave them nothing. He had a few matches that weren't so hot, and he got hurt a lot. He had a match with Alberto Del Rio where he just instantly said, I can't go any further. And Del Rio just potatoed the shit out of him.
He deserved it.
He deserved it. I mean, I don't think the guy ever really wanted to be there, honestly. I think he was homesick or something. But he's gone, and I think WWE did just right putting another guy in his role.
Yeah, then he went on Twitter while that match was on to tell everybody that he was really in Mexico. Shit, thing's kind of funny, actually.
I'm really in Mexico.
But they say that, like, I guess they
that guy doesn't ever want to work for the WWE, does he?
They're saying that they were selling tons of Sin Cara merchandise. That's why they wanted to go. They wanted to keep the character.
I mean, he is over to you know, a certain amount of fans.
Yeah, and it was funny, though. They were saying that the Meltzer was like, the merchandise stopped selling now because Sinico doesn't have the charisma.
No, I honestly don't think anybody notices, except for, like, the tattoo. I mean...
Did the guy have amazing charisma? He came out there with a mask covering his whole face and would flip into the ring, and then he would fall on his head. Then he'd break his arm, and he'd have a big penis t-shirt. Where was the charisma?
You know, the big penis t-shirt was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was. All right. You want to take calls now? You want to go to break?
What would you want to do? Take calls right now or just go to break?
It doesn't matter.
Let's take calls. Let's get right to the news.
You guys
want to
call in? It's 508-644-8503. Or you can Skype in jacking off. Weebs is saying all this Sin Cara talk is pissing off El Santo Loco. Fuck you, El Santo Loco. Where the hell are you? You're running some marathon.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I've become a runner. He's like Forrest Gump. He just started running.
What have you done for us lately?
All right, let's see. Your life is like a box of burritos. We got the Mighty Mighty Lexar on the line.
I definitely need my diapers for that. Big box of burritos.
Mighty Lexar, what's up, boy?
That could be my commercial. It's like they give me a big box of burritos, and I'm like, I just finished eating the big box of burritos, and look at these! They're not spilling a drop! These are the diapers you need!
I've got 8 pounds of shit in my diaper.
That's a lot of shit.
It is. Mighty Lexar, you use adult diapers.
Why wear diapers? No.
Well, if you did, you need to wear that brand of diapers.
Oh, if I wear those brand of diapers, no. I don't wear pregnant diapers. I wear Fruit of the Loom underwear. So, but anyway.
What exactly does that mean, Fruit of the Loom?
The fruit of ball sack.
The fruit of the balls. I'm going to make an underwear named that.
Uh-huh.
Fruit of the balls. I'll make a specialty pair, too. Like, ones with, like, people who have a testicle higher than the other.
All right, Mighty Lexar. We've got a full blood bank of callers here, so make it quick.
Okay, I'm gonna go back to a couple episodes of Raw and SmackDown the past couple of months.
Why?
And you see, notice a trend there that you see a superstar in front of a makeshift WWE shop merchandise stand and merchandise, and I think this they are ripping off the independent scene. Because if you went to a couple of independent shows, and during intermission, they'll tell you to go buy merch and everything, and you see wrestlers selling merch.
Yep.
The company merch, the merch. I think WWE is ripping off the independents with this whole superstar in front of WWE shop merch.
Well, what I'm saying... They need, if they really want to move this merchandise, they need to, you know, bring in some people from outside of the company. They need to bring in the salesman of salesmen, none other than Don West, and they need to have him sell some merchandise. Because he could move TNA merchandise, and nobody else could do that. Nobody.
Perfect 10, Mighty Lexar. When you're watching that, Lexar, has any of the people so far, have they made you think, you know what, I got to pick up my phone, I got to dial in right now, I got to buy me some John Cena slippers?
No, I don't want to wear John Cena.
Anything. It could be anything.
I did kind of want to buy some John Cena moccasins just because I thought they're so ridiculous.
Not even a program I will buy from.
Man, you're hardcore. You won't buy shit. You know what? Programs back in the day, back in my day, when I was a youngin, and I'd go to the wrestling shows, the live events, and they would have a program that was specific to the actual show you're at.
I remember them.
They would have the lineup of the show you were there at. Mm-hmm. Now, when you go and you buy a program, it's just a WWE magazine and it's this program on it. It's a bunch of bullshit.
Yep.
But they charge $15.
Couldn't they at least have like a printout of all the matches that you just viewed and just kind of put it into the magazine somewhere?
Exactly.
That would be nice.
What it is the program for the past couple of years is just superstars, a list of superstars and some pictures, and that's it. Nothing really special.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pissed. All right, Lexar, anything else? We got to get to these other callers.
You said that you missed Impact, and I saw Impact at the Frenzy Thanksgiving dinner at Mom's Friend's.
Are you pumped?
Yeah. And over there, the Bullmats have a DJ. Sima Ion is the DJ.
Oh, I did.
And they did two jobbers and probably the shortest match ever in TNA.
Mm-hmm. I'm going on record. I like the Bromans. I like these guys.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Bromans. I like Sima Ion. I think that guy is such a douchebag. Like, you see him, and you're like, God, I fucking hate this guy. I wish he'd just be pummeled. I wish he'd be tied to the back of a pickup truck and driven up a hill. That is heat! That is a heel! I like Sima Ion.
I like Sima Ion, but I don't know if he needs to be, like, saddled into just being a DJ for this group.
I see.
So it's like, I liked him as just Sima Ion. I don't think they used him well, but yeah, that was a pretty fun match, I guess. The Norv Vernum and the other guy, I forget his name, they had to wear the turkey outfit.
And they had to dance and make turkey sound.
Did you buy it? Oh, that was weird. It was like an angry turkey. They were like pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Romans like, ah, rah. They were like, it was like this, they were just like mad. I've never seen like a turkey dance that was so angry.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where you would find an angry turkey dance. So
there, the Bromans.
There you go.
Fist. All right, Mighty Elixir. You are a person. I want to thank you for calling in.
Yes, I am the mighty person. Thank you,
guys. You are indeed. Thank you. 201 area code, who are you? Where are you from?
This is Santo from Jersey.
Santo! How's it going?
It's going fine. How are you guys? Intercheck.
Doing good. Good to hear you once again.
What I wanted to talk about...
Oh, you've never called in before, have you?
I called in once, and there was some controversy between Incher and myself.
Uh-oh. What was going on?
You weren't around, so I tried playing Bound for Glory, and he hung up on me.
Oh, this guy's... I like this guy. He's going places. He knows the deal. He knows...
I'm going to tell you something, Jack. I know you live to annoy me, and you annoyed me earlier, and you weren't even there.
When?
I was driving down the road... And Leonard Skinner came on, and I thought, oh, fuck, it's that Bound for Glory song. And I was like, no, it's the original.
And then you realized, Jack's right, this isn't as good.
No, I realized that motherfucker has ruined Leonard Skinner for me.
I would say some people would say that, but most, the majority, I'd say 95% of a listening audience would say improved.
I want to hear my sweet home Alabama.
Sweet.
I don't want to think about Bound for Glory.
Where the skies are so blue, oh, no, it's true. Shout out to Willie Moore.
I wonder if you asked him to play the karaoke version of that, and then you just went up and did Bound for Glory, if they would kick you off or not.
They'd probably get a standing ovation. Women would be throwing their panties on stage.
I'll throw my 8-pound diaper full of shit at you.
Is that what you guys do? I mean, where I live, like, you know, people are civilized. We don't throw feces here.
You just worship Satan.
I push my satanic views.
Time to get on the internet and push Satan.
I'm the devil.
I'm the devil on the computer.
I'm the devil, I can do what I want. So what's on your mind, Santo?
Satan's on Facebook.
I don't know if you covered this here or in the Without Your Head, but a few days ago I went to a film festival.
Nice.
A wrestling film festival.
Nice.
And the feature attraction was pro wrestlers versus zombies.
Who were the pro wrestlers in this?
Shane Douglas, Roddy Piper, Matt Hardy, Matt Hardy's woman.
I've seen trailers from this movie, and I will say it looks less than stellar.
It is the best worst movie I've ever seen.
Really? Be it better than Troll 2?
Better than what?
Troll 2?
It's pretty close. It's just, I don't know, man. Shane Douglas' acting or overacting was just... like it was like every scene was, oh my god, you know, it was like every scene felt like that. So it was a terribly awesome movie.
Is it better than what was the monster one with Kevin Nash?
Oh, that one was terrible. That one felt like Lance Henriksen was held for ransom as he read those notes.
Well, we have interviewed Lance Henriksen and I read his book. And there's a chapter in his book where he talks about there came a point in time when he had to start making, you know, he makes movies he really likes, and then there are what he calls alimony movies to pick his advice. This was probably one of those.
Yeah, that was definitely one. Yeah, and then after the movie, they had a panel with the director.
Uh-huh.
And then out comes Roddy Piper for an impromptu Piper's Pit.
Yeah, was y'all coke?
And all he did was nonstop up the entire panel was bury the shit out of the movie.
That's pretty sweet. And I will say this: one of my proudest moments of doing anything that's come from the podcast was I did host a panel with Hot Rod Rowdy Roddy Piper, and that was a very proud day. I'm sure.
Did you do that at the Wrestling Fan Fest?
No, I did not.
Well,
yeah, that was the days of panel.
They have some schmucks to them at the wrestling panels.
They have mighty wholesome Christians at these wrestling panels.
Yes, exactly. Like Jim Cornette. He's always praising the Lord. And his wife.
She looks like a good Christian.
Yes, exactly.
So, I can't imagine what goes on in that bedroom.
I remember we saw him coming out of the hotel once, and Jim Cornette just had this big smile on his face.
She probably got done spanking him, calling him Stewie or something.
And man, this loves... He's really upset about this dog dying.
Yeah, there's a lot of people upset about that. I never really watched any episodes of The Family Guy, so.
Yeah, I said the other day I went on Facebook and I posted. I mean, I've never seen one episode of Family Guy. I've never seen a Fast and Furious movie. And just the whole day made no sense to me. Ooh, what are these people talking about?
I know who Paul Walker is, but I've never really watched any of the Fast and Furious movies. But it's a shame when the guy dies and all people could talk about is like how shitty his movies are.
I posted that. I did post, but I didn't know who he was. I really don't know who he is, to be honest, but whatever. But then just constantly for days, like, all I see is these posts making fun of the guy dying. And all these posts are like, why is anybody upset Bob Denver died? What? And there was all this talk about how everybody's crying about Paul Walker. And I was like, I see way more posts. I see way more people on the social media making fun of people's reaction to Paul Walker dying than I see people's reaction to Paul Walker dying. Mm-hmm. They're just a bunch of douchebags want to go out there and make fun of a guy dying and make fun of people for being upset a guy died. I personally wasn't affected. I didn't know he was, but I'm not going to go out there and say, hey, you fucking asshole. How dare you, you know, be upset that this guy died that was in, you know, cheesy movies. It's very weird.
Everybody's got to make a living. That's how he made his.
I mean, does it really bother people that someone might have liked that movie and was upset that, you know, his guy died? They got pissed. And then I was like, do you realize Bob Denver died 8 years ago? I don't.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
Yeah, I saw it all over the place. Everyone's talking about Bob Denver.
Yeah, Bob Denver's been dead forever now.
Yeah, it's very weird.
But, yeah. And it was one of the highest grossing movies, the first one with The Rock in it. Like, what? Did it, like, it make, like, a ton of money? I mean, somebody's watching it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care about the movies either, but, I mean, it wasn't like taking joy in the sky. It did.
No.
I just wanted to piss on anybody that did care about it. I just didn't care about it. What about my day? Very weird. All right, Santo, what else on your mind? We've got like 100 people on the line.
All right, I'll just try to make this quick. I was just going to say my only interaction with the Hot Rod was basically defending this movie as he was pummeling the director.
Nice.
Yeah, like for some reason the crowd really hated Shane Douglas, like for real. I didn't understand that. I got to ask Tazo what's up with that one because he was also there.
Oh, really? Did you get to meet Tazo?
No. I think he left just before the panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't like anything that's remotely not wrestling-related.
Yeah, they also screened the ECW documentary, The Barbed Wire City.
I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, I thought it was good, except my only big complaint about it is that every time anyone talks about the ECW party scene, like that's when I know it goes from like a shoot to like a complete, like, you know, it's all like pure bullshit. Like there was no ECW party scene.
How do you know this?
Long story short, my friend Angel used to be a photographer for ECW back in the day. So he used to rent a hotel in Philly at the Holiday Inn. So the big ECW party was his hotel room with a bunch of beer and just the wrestlers sitting down watching TV, drinking, smoking, reading PWI, and that's about it. There was no naked women, no orgies, no this, no that. It was just, there's, you know, some hijinks here and there, but it was never like what they try to sell it to be.
I have no idea, but I don't know. Those guys are pretty crazy, and there's I tend to believe there's probably some women involved back in the ECW after hours.
And if you're going to have an orgy, the one guy that you got to invite is the guy who's the photographer.
We got to get Bill Apter in here. We'll bring in all the women.
Take a bunch of pictures of us with our hammers.
It is very true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much my link, right?
Is your friend Angel of the Baldies?
No, I mean, I remember in the hotel room was like Balls, Little Guido, the Dudleys, Jason, some from Atlas Security.
New Jack and Sandman. There. He's like, one time this Mark, he tried to jump the rail, and I said, no, Mark, go sit down.
know, the only thing we needed him for once was some random, like, fat, drunk chick called Balls Mahoney Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and he got offended. And that was pretty much, that was the only time we were like, oh, thank God security was here.
Awesome.
All right, well, I just posted in the chat room for everyone listening live. Yeah, I do recommend that if you can listen to the show live, you join the chat room over at iWhiteWrestling.com, and you can join in with all the listeners and the hosts, myself, Incher, and this President Clinton Schmuck. He's in there, too. And it's good times, Incher. You can interact with us. You can leave questions, comments. Yeah, while the show's going on. And there's a lot of pictures of usually naked women, but this time I actually posted a photo of myself with Rowdy, Roddy Piper, and Keith David from They Live.
There's some guy with his cock in his hands, highly upset by that. He's like, what? I'm jerking off to Roddy Piper now?
I'm sorry, Ultimate Beef. I'm sure it's not the first time.
Yeah, he's got to experiment.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, Santo.
All right, have a good night, guys.
You too. All right, that was not El Santo Loco, but another Santo. He's actually part of the In Your Head Matadors with Norn Rad.
Excellent.
Let's see here. We've got Dwayne's on the line.
That's right. And I got something I really want to talk about.
All right. Should I go take a
coffee break? And that is that you don't ever, and I mean ever, put your gym clothes in the hamper that is for clean clothes.
No. I'm behind, Dwayne, so I don't know what you're talking about, but.
Oh, my God. John Cena almost had a fit at the Bella Twin.
So,
the man has two hampers in his house. And one of them is for dirty clothes, and one of them is for clean clothes. And if you mix those up, he is not a happy man.
Mm. So that was the drama on Total Divas this week?
Yep. Nikki Bella's like, I think John Cena has OCD. The man has no pictures in his house. He doesn't allow any candles. He doesn't want her cooking in the house because it'll get his kitchen dirty.
What? What man does not want a woman chained to his oven cooking? This man is not a man.
Like, he comes home and he's like, I thought we were going out to eat. And she's like, no, I cooked. And he's like, well, lay some paper towels down. I don't want you messing up my marbles.
God. Man. He doesn't want her messing up his marble. What'd she make for him?
I didn't really say. He wasn't happy about it, though, man.
that's mind-boggling.
But I do have a non-Total Divas topic I want to talk about.
All right.
Is Jack there? Because I got something I want to say to him.
Jackson, have you left? Where are you? I think he's gone.
Well, then fuck it. I'll just talk about Total Divas.
Man, we're cutting the segment short. I apologize, but I haven't seen the last 2 weeks. I need to catch up, but...
You haven't seen the last 2 weeks?
Yeah. I just, I don't know.
Man.
I'm worthless. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of real wrestling.
I tried watch. I did watch Impact.
You did?
This week. Yeah. I watched Raw and Impact last week, and I'm never doing that again.
It's just way too much wrestling. Impact,
this
and
is
Raw,
just
a, 5 hours.
This was
of
one of the worst. It was some of the worst stuff I've ever seen.
Did you see the funeral segment where they were laying rest?
Oh, my God.
To the Aces and
Eights? That was the fucking shit.
I did like whatever Ken Anderson got up there, and he was like, I know Bully Ray has laid his hammer upon all of us here, and then, like, Eric Young kind of gave this strange look. Like, what the hell?
I will say I did find one part of that funny. It's when, you know, Mike Kinney took, like, Brooke Kessmacher's shorts, and they cut to Magnus, and he just, like, starts nodding his head and just has the sleaziest look on his face.
His Magnus is totally down with that.
But that was, I mean, that was maybe the worst segment I've ever seen. Who thought it was a good idea to have baby faces do a fake funeral for the heels?
Yeah, I don't know. And then Bully Ray came in at the end, and he was like, you'll all pay.
Oh, my God.
You'll all pay for this.
I heard this was hilarious.
Who told
you that?
Like, everyone in the... I didn't see it, so I can't say, but everyone on the Facebook page, Meltzer and Alvarez were just gushing over it. They're saying how much the comedy writers of TNA are so much better than the WWE comedy writers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that, but...
What?
I have not seen it, but all I heard was like, greatness about this
thing. It wasn't...
I just want to say right now, if you thought that was funny, then you're just an idiot, because it was awful.
I thought one part was funny whenever they said, I said it earlier, Jack, but they said, like, I know Bully Ray has laid his hammer upon all of us. Like, Eric Young kind of gave him this strange look, like, what the hell? Like, it was kind of funny, but Mike Tenay, he took Brooke Tessmacher's dancing shorts, and he put them in his pocket like he was going to sniff them later on.
He was off. And then Bully Ray just kept, like, I normally like Bully Ray, but his promo was terrible. They really cut his balls off, man. Like, I don't know where he goes from here.
Beef says in the chat room, the Aces funeral was great.
Well, Beef, you're a fucking moron, because it was the worst shit I've ever seen. But now that you're back, Jack, I do have something I want to say to you.
All right.
And this is something that I never thought I would say, and I'll probably never say again, but you were right.
About what?
When this whole thing with Triple H and Stephanie started,
mm-hmm.
I defended it and was like, no, people don't understand. They're not really burying people. They know what they're doing. Oh. Obviously, they're self-aware enough. But I was wrong. They had just totally buried everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I defended it the first week. When I actually really liked the angle at SummerSlam, I think it was, when they treat him out of the belt, and then the next night on Raw. Then like, the very week after, I was like, oh, okay, it's getting a little, like, the guy can't just get killed every week. And then it went on for weeks and weeks. And then, I mean, basically just destroyed Daniel Bryan. And now Big Show. And even the guy who's the champion, Randy Orton, means nothing. It's just all...
Randy Orton is like a total jobber now.
Yeah, it's
like,
all about Triple H and Stephanie.
It's bad times.
And it's not heat when you see them and come out. Like, it's not like... Oh, I want to see them get beat. It's like you see them come out, and you're like, I just don't want to watch this.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like this, the Helmsley-McMahon era all over again.
At least during that, like, people got their comeuppance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least The Rock and Mick Foley would beat them up.
They
just bury everybody, and then they don't stand up to them.
They just get. Look at the storytelling with Daniel Bryan. It was like 8 weeks of destruction, where you kept thinking, well, at the end of the year he's gonna win, so you know, whatever. But even by the time you thought he was gonna win, it's like, well, I think they've actually hurt this guy, because he's just got destroyed so often, and they're just telling you every week that he shouldn't be champion. He sucks. He's too small. He's ugly. He's like a B wrestler. Just constantly. And you hear that so much, fans are going to think, you know what? This guy is short and ugly and not that good. We probably shouldn't like him. And he's getting killed every single week. Why would I like this guy? And then he didn't win anyway. And
can you imagine?
Main events. He's fighting, you know, like the Wyatts, which... Some people, I mean, they're kind of a hot thing now, but it's a big drop from being the main event guy to feuding with the Wyatts.
Can you imagine if, like, when Harley Race was NWA champion, they did an angle where they were like, well, he's just a fat piece of shit. He couldn't really beat anybody up.
Yeah, he's just this old fat guy with stupid sideburns. Look at those ugly sideburns.
I'm pretty terrible. Sure he want to be down with that.
Look at, he's got a Jew for a...
That's what I'm saying. He wouldn't go for it. He'd be like, what are you talking about? I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah. I mean, Triple H is an established guy, so a lot of the audience is just going to believe what he says. And why point out? I mean, people know the guy's short anyway, but if you keep pointing out after what, like, yeah, this guy is short. You know what? This guy is ugly. This guy ain't that good. Why would you do that? Well, how? Who? And then people are saying, well, these pay-per-view buys, they didn't do very well. Well,
I wonder why.
Every week he gets his ass handed to him, and they tell you he sucks, and he shouldn't be in the main event, and then at the same time they're telling you to buy a show that he's main eventing.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy Orton is basically just holding the belt for Triple H. Like,
yeah,
he never has his own thoughts or anything like that.
No, he's just a schmuck.
It's bad, man.
If it keeps on this path,
right now.
Like 2 years from now, everybody be walking Stephanie McMahon's dog.
That'd be good, though. That'd be a good angle. It's just a big dog show.
It's like the Westminster dog show, but it's all Stephanie McMahon's
dog. They wouldn't have
dogs.
To cancel Raw that week.
They would just have it there.
Yeah,
Dolph Ziggler's walking down the ring with a poodle of some sort.
Man, Dolph Ziggler. What happened to that guy?
Everybody, I think in the last 10 years, or definitely in the last few years, everybody that starts to get over, they cut down. Every single guy.
This motherfucker's going to be a star? Don't think so.
Has there anybody that start? I mean, Ryback was really over, and then they turned him heel, and he lost every match for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even get an entrance now.
No, he's just a total loser. Right? Ziggler was. I remember when Ziggler was hot. Now he's just like a. He's just like an afterthought.
Yeah,
like a little bit above Kofi Kingston.
Zack Ryder, he's selling T-shirts.
Yeah, he was. Guy was really over. I mean, even Punk, he's not nearly at the level as he was.
Speaking of CM Punk, I do want to talk about something that happened last week on Raw. Because I actually watched the show live, which I can't imagine I'll do again. But I thought I'd check out a few of the segments on the app. And most of them were just nothing. But after Daniel Bryan got kidnapped by the Wyatts, you can tell that this guy in the crowd says something to CM Punk, and he just looks over at the guy and he goes, man, I'm too old for this shit. And then he just hangs his head and walks away.
Do you think that was a real reaction, or do you think it was...
I think that was his reaction to what was going on the show. That's what it seemed to be. Because he did not look happy at all. He just looked like he didn't give a fuck about anything anymore.
That is a hard thing to portray. Like, my buddy just got carried off by the hillbillies. It's like, what would you do, Jack, if I just burst into the room at the fan fest and took Flea away?
I'm bringing him to our intra-clan. Yeah.
We're gonna make him a hillbilly.
Watch the buzzards,
buddy. Buddy Epstein's with me. He hits you with a fucking banjo or something.
I just see Bray. Some people they just start like spewing in their pants when he talks. But I just see him as a fucking loser.
I think that those vignettes are awesome. But anytime they're actually on the show live, it's not good.
No, I didn't think that. A lot of people are going crazy this week, but I was not impressed.
I used to just have them never wrestle and only do pre-recorded segments.
Yes. I'm not a fan. Incher, the time has passed now. Wyatt's, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just don't know what they're doing with him. I mean,
he has this look on his face like he just thinks he's the fucking man. Very, and he's doing his promo. Like,
he should look like he doesn't know what to do. He should come out there and just be like, I have no confidence in what I'm doing here. You know, Daniel Bryan, we might capture you. I know what you're saying, well, though. He looks like he's just doing something great, and it's really not so hot.
Yes. People are comparing him to, like, Kevin Sullivan and Jake the Snake. God,
well, that's pretty far-fetched. Yeah. Maybe, like, 1995 Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah, like Dungeon of Doom.
What if the Dungeon of Doom came back to feud with the Wyatts?
I'd be all over it.
Mm-hmm.
They have like Kamala and like a and like a and like a mechan with mechanical legs.
Mm-hmm.
And the gang, that'd be awesome.
Joe, the Yeti,
the Yeti.
Dwayne's favorite would be there, the Zodiac.
Yes, no, yes, no.
I would mark out for that.
What was the deal with the Zodiac?
And then Cody,
he did not like it. He got pissed.
He's like, "What do you mean? What's the deal with the Zodiac?"
Well, if you ever watch his timeline, he's just like he doesn't exactly understand. He's like, God, what is that noise? Talking about whose computer?
Somebody's destroying it. Seven something. Yeah.
So, if you ever watch his timeline, he's like, he says that he was like the most over thing in wrestling. He's like, he had white heat. He was the most hated guy ever. And then he's talking about when he's Brutus Beefcake right after he split the Hammer, Greg Valentine. I'm like, what? Like, who gave a shit about him then? And then it's like, then, why would they take that and make him the barber? And he's like talking about the barber being like this horrible thing that happened to him. It was by far the time he was the most over.
It's like the only thing he ever did that anybody cared about.
Yeah.
Nah, man, I'm a huge Disciple fan, but fuck the barber gimmick.
Man, the Disciple.
It's like, I'm this guy who loves Hogan.
that's always Hogan's favorite gimmick.
You know, anytime he goes into a company, he demands that there's a character that's just totally in love with him.
That's what they should do with Daniel Bryan. They should bring Hogan back at WrestleMania and just have Daniel Bryan just be a big mark for Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know I could never be a main eventer like the Hulkster, but goddamn am I a fan of a man.
They instead of heels and faces, they should have like Hogan marks and asses. That would be like every face should just be a Hogan mark. That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
there is a character in NXT called Bayley, and her gimmick is just that she's just a big mark for all the other wrestlers.
It's
pretty amazing.
Don't they call those rats?
Do what?
Well, isn't that called a
rat? No, it's not like she wants to sleep with him. She's just, like, real nervous to be in the ring with people and stuff.
No.
I used to think about that as a gimmick if I ever started wrestling back in my day. Like, you would come in and, like, ask for their autograph and stuff. That'd be awesome.
Basically what she does.
That's an awesome gimmick. I love that gimmick.
That's even better than, like, the magician.
She's my favorite woman. No, magician would be sweet.
But you know what I think it is, though? I think it's like she probably came in and, like, you know, her dream is to be in the WWE, and she's just a big, you know, a big fan and really happy to be there, and they're like, look at this fucking mark.
That's how it is, wrestling. You have to, like, be subservient to some degree and be, like, broken down and humbled. But if you actually like being there too much, then you're, like, a mark and you must be, like, ridiculed.
Mm-hmm.
It's very bizarre.
That's right.
Like, you can't be too happy to work for the company.
Right.
It all goes back to when I said that wrestling is ran by psychopaths.
You can't, like, you can't be a fan of any other companies, but I don't know, it's very strange. The best move you can make in the WWE is to leave and just tell them to go fuck themselves, and then they'll just beg you to come back.
Yeah. If you always say, like, I'll never go back to the WWE, they just have to get you back to prove you wrong.
They had to have Brock Lesnar. The man sued him. He, like, had the worst match of all time at WrestleMania, but we got to get this guy back because he has no respect for us.
He fucking hates us.
This is they got him back. They had to drop him out. And, like, their reason.
I don't think he cares, though. I think Brock Lesnar
just
sits
there
and cares.
Like, I'm getting paid either way. What the hell do I care? They're dumb. I mean, his matches will mean less and less every time he loses, but.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. But I just think in Brock's mind, he's like, well, I know I could beat everybody. I was the UFC champion, so everybody knows I'm a badass. I really don't care what they have me do on this bullshit wrestling.
It just hurts them. I always hate, they're talking about, too, that's why Ryback loses all the time, because he's being punished, because he did the spear and the jackhammer. But how is that punishing him? It's just punishing your own company.
What'd he do before when they just made him lose all his shit? I mean, he had a hell of a gimmick going on there. I mean, what did he do?
They
took the last cupcake at catering or something?
All the wrestling news is made up.
I do want to say that, like,
they think, like no, there's no logical reason why they would take a guy that's over and just have him lose, and they're thinking about, you know, having him wrestle, you know, Goldberg at WrestleMania. So there's no logical reason why this guy would just lose. So they're just like, well, he must be being punished. That's how the news, like, comes to be.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, jump.
I will say, like, CM Punk is, like, definitely my favorite wrestler, but he made no attempt to have good matches with Ryback. He pretty much just buried him.
Yeah, that was not good.
He just Triple H'd his ass and was like, get the fuck out of my way.
He was super over before that first loss. Anyway, thank you for calling in, Dwayne. You're a good man, and we'll talk to you soon.
All righty, guys.
Take her easy, Dwayne.
Yeah. We've got a plethora of callers here.
Excellent.
We've got Tazo the Greek.
What's up? How you doing?
Tazo, you were spotted this weekend at Wrestlers vs. Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Tazo the faggot.
Whoa! Bob is not a fan of Tazo.
Am I
on the line? You are. Bob is calling you out, Tazo.
I don't know who Bob is.
Last year I was on the line. You go ahead there, Tazo.
Is that Wacko Bob?
It's a different Bob. So, Tazo, you're there. Freaky, greeky Tazo. You're. What were you doing? Were you chanting?
What is Bob?
Were you chanting for
the Bob say something to me?
Did you have a sign that just said wrestlers? Down with the zombies?
Yeah, what about it? Yeah, it was a pretty bad movie, but it was funny. Shane Douglas was really good in this movie. So I think it's worth watching just to see Shane Douglas's performance.
Did he have the cast
on? I'm sorry?
Did he have the cast on his arm, like, the entire time?
The cast on his arm?
Yeah, like, that was his whole WCW run.
No, he didn't have a cast. I think what he did a lot was laugh. He did that laugh he does you know, anything he would say, you know, I'm ashamed of it. And it's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
He did it a lot.
Is this going to be the new thing that Ric Flair is going to make fun of Shane Douglas for? He's like, well, I would never be in a zombie movie. Kind of like working at the Target.
Hmm.
Like, I'd rather kill myself than to be in that zombie movie that he was in.
Well, Roddy was probably the best actor in that whole movie.
Are you sure about that?
Piper is a good actor. He's been in a lot of crappy films, but he is always good in every movie he's in, obviously. He is a good actor. Have you ever seen him have a bad performance in a movie? He's been in bad movies, but he's always good in them.
No, I'm not making fun of Piper's acting. I was just saying, like, are you sure about that? Like, I'm pretty sure the production values could get all the best actors in Wrestlers versus Zombies.
So I know you didn't just call and talk about Wrestlers versus Zombies, Taza. What else is going on in the world of Taza the Greek?
In my world, bro?
You called it for me, Taza. Why the fuck call in? What did you want to talk about?
Well,
you must have something on your mind.
Well, you know, man, I made a pact with myself. I smoke. I had a couple of bow hits. Yeah, definitely.
Bow
before
hits?
Calling the show. Huh?
Well, what do you want to talk about?
John Cena.
What about him?
And how he sucks. How he's just like the worst. And can you explain to me why, after all the bad things that Triple H did, all right, to put it simply, that why would John Cena, like, be all kissing his butt? I didn't understand that at all. Can you explain that to me?
I didn't get it either. I thought it was bad, but there were some people on the Facebook page who said it was the fucking bomb. Did kids still say that? The bomb?
Yeah, I think they use that, yeah.
Bomb. That's the bomb. That was the fucking ball. When I was a kid, we said that was the fucking balls.
Mm-hmm.
Do people say that? The balls.
It's the bee's knees, buddy.
Nah, that's like the freaking 40s or something.
I got the hiccups.
Do they still say the balls? Do these people say, what the hell? I don't know. Tazo, I'm with you. He's out there, somber faced. He's just like, oh. And he's saying, Jack. Who the hell says that? It just sounds so corny. And that's the deal, Jack.
Yeah, it's not even like, you know, you can throw away the, like, trying to make, like, it having it make sense. Okay, wrestling, sometimes things don't always make sense. But even Cena's delivery, it's just all really bad. Because his delivery is like, he's kind of like a southern black preacher kind of mixed with, like, I don't know what. It's just, you know what I'm saying, right? Doesn't he kind of come off like that? Like he's preaching or something?
Yeah.
Like he's black or something?
Like he's black.
That's okay, but he's, you know, he's not black, and he's not a preacher.
He's a rapper.
And I don't know, he just sucks, man. I don't know why anybody would like him at all, except for chicks who want to suck his cock. And gay dudes, also.
That's why Dwayne likes.
Which is fine. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. He's out there with, like, a baseball cap on, and he's like almost, he's pushing 40, and he's got, like, shorts and, like, this terrible t-shirt and, like, wristbands. And I'm with you. I can't stand it. And I, you know, for a while, it was, like, cool to hate John Cena, and I'm like, oh, he's not that bad. But, you know what? I really can't stand the guy. Entry, I know you're a Cena fan. Why gets you going?
I never said I was a Cena fan. I was saying earlier that I'm pretty sick of him.
Yeah.
He just, I don't know, he's just overexposed. I mean, at this point, even if he wasn't overexposed, wouldn't he be a little tiresome?
Yes.
Can you hear that I have the hiccups right now?
No.
I need something to scare them out of me, so maybe like a... I don't know. Cena.
Well, he needs, sure.
Yes, sir.
Jack.
Ooh.
Yes. Well, so here's the big news story in my life about wrestling is that I am done watching WWE as of Monday night. I'm done.
But you're
not watching anything.
You're going to start watching again this Monday night.
I'm not going to watch. I'm going to read spoilers. I'm not going to waste 3 hours watching Raw, and I'm not going to waste 2 hours watching SmackDown. I will watch Impact because I get home in time to watch that. So I'm going to try and watch a little. I'm going to get sick of that too. That's terrible also. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to watch some Japanese wrestling, and I'm going to go to some independent wrestling shows. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to watch the show.
I want you to do me a favor, Tazo. Off air, get in touch with me. I'll send you some in your head cards, whatever, and you can start handing them out if you would like to.
Yeah, I would actually. I went to an independent show on Saturday in a New York Wrestling Connection.
Mm.
That was pretty cool. So that's another thing.
He says here in the chat room, Taz was supposed to pics of himself driving stoned to some wrestling show.
I wasn't stoned, but yeah, I went to New York Wrestling Connection. The main event was Tony Nese.
I like that guy. I think that was a guy that TNA really missed a boat on. I really saw a lot of potential for that guy.
Absolutely. That's why I went to see the show. I thought it was a good main event. Big O. Mm-hmm. The Big O was also in TNA. He had a gut check challenge. I forget his name anyway. The Big O versus Tony Nese. Then Michael Woodbrook was there. And anyway, that was a good show. It's like an hour from my house. I don't have to pay tolls, so that was cool. So I did that too. And I'm thinking I'm going to go to Family Wrestling Entertainment, which is on Saturday in Queens, and check that out. I don't know. I'll tell you that. I'll post some pictures on Facebook.
I could totally beat up the promoter that runs that.
Really?
Family Wrestling promotion. I mean, who comes up with that? Who wants to be the family wrestling promotion? Don't they want to be extreme? Don't
family
you want to be extreme, Jack?
Family Wrestling Entertainment has run shows in New York for about 2 years. They've run shows in, like, Manhattan, Queens, and Brooklyn, right?
Is that Mr. Rogers' company or something?
It is weird. Now, Tazo, you're always hating PG and you're hating Cena, but then you want to go to family wrestling.
Well, you know, you gotta like support indie wrestling.
I agree.
But who comes up with the family wrestling promotion?
It is a bad.
Yeah, that name is bad. But you know what? Here's the deal, man. If you want to like sell tickets, you have to have kids come to your show.
You can do that and not be like, I'm the family wrestling promotion.
Yeah, I'll be honest. When I was a kid, I would not want to go to a wrestling show called the Wrestling.
You gotta be like the most violent shit you're gonna see, kids. Come see it.
I'm gonna go see fucking mayhem, ballistic balls to the wall wrestling.
I expect them to have like a clown like on a big ball juggling down to the ring, and he jumps into the ring and falls on his butt and goes ooh.
Actually, they have lots and lots of WWE and TNA wrestlers.
Oh, so they got like Tony.
Do they open the show with like Melina coming out and just showing her crotch to all everybody? She's like, look at this.
That's worth $20.
You bring all your kiddies out here just to show them Melina's crotch.
Someone in the chat said that Yolanda gave you a bear hug. Is that true?
That is not true, but we did like hug each other. Yeah, sure.
With her mouth or what?
Oh, what? Jesus Christ, bro. That was like one of those photos I took of with her where I had to like suck my belly in because I looked like a fucking fat virgin at a wrestling show.
I want a vagina hug from Yolanda.
Jesus
I like Yolanda. She's a good girl.
Yeah, she is cool.
I think you established that when you said, I want a vagina hug from Yolanda. I think that's a little bit further than just like, Jack.
That's how I want the female listeners to greet me. I don't think it's too much to ask. I'm the fucking nature boy.
Hmm.
You know, that's not family wrestling.
That is not family wrestling. Taza does not approve.
No.
All right, Taza, you're a good man. You'll lay off the crack. Get yourself together.
Smoking some good shit. I'm not smoking crack, little bro. But I am smoking some good stuff. So. But anyway, thanks for taking my call. Gentlemen, have a good night. You are the best.
Oh, well, thank you, Taza. You're a good man yourself. Let's give him a round of applause.
Take her easy, Taza. I had a joke there, but I'm not going to do it.
828 area code, who are you?
Now, who do you think this is, the 828 area code?
Oh, no. I'm there just 8 and 10.
This is Carol. What do you think? Who do you think it is?
This is Carol.
Carol?
It is a tracker.
That's right. What's going on, guys? What's happening?
Not a whole lot, Carol. Just talking some wrestling.
I've been here, and I've been sitting back listening to the show and seeing what's going on and hanging in there and watching it.
There you go. There just ain't no telling. So,
that's right. You never know.
What's been popping out in the world of wrestling, Carol, that's just been getting your yammers going?
Oh, you know, don't like Dixie Carter. She's
Jezebel. She is.
Exactly. You got that right. Mm-hmm. And I think TNA is getting screwed up now, you know, and going this way and going that way. And did you see on YouTube on the why they said that Jim Ross retired? He actually got fired.
Mm-hmm.
When they done that, wrestling video, the WWE 2K14.
That's what I heard.
Nah, I got fired. Now I'm real cool.
I saw the video on the on YouTube yesterday.
That's what wrestling needs. They need the guys going up there off the cuff, talking, getting excited, laughing. That's what wrestling needs, not a bunch of bullshit.
You got that right. Hey, and yesterday was Ric Flair's wife's birthday. You know the wife that he has that used to be called Fifi the Maid?
Mm-hmm.
But I think her name's Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was her birthday yesterday.
Really?
saw that on Facebook yesterday.
Fire. Did you buy anything off her Amazon wish list like the song man would?
I don't know, but they probably had a good party yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I bet she was riding Space Mountain, and sure.
You get it.
Oh, this ride! Longest line! Woo!
You got it. So what's been happening with you guys?
Intra's been riding Jack Mountain.
No, don't listen to him, Carol. He's crazy. crazy as a pet coon.
Anyway,
so what do you think? Do you think Jim Ross, he's trolling what? Around the independent scenes and he runs into Buff Bagwell? Or hire Buff.
You never know. They just had that on November the 30th that wrestling thing up in Winston-Salem.
There you go.
And I've been seeing some pictures on Facebook. Animals?
Do what?
Why does Jim Ross hate animals? He's like he's beating government mules.
Uh huh.
Coons are crazy.
You got it.
That's as goofy as a pet coon.
You got that right.
Nah.
You definitely got that right.
I read in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated that he posted on like his Twitter or something like that, Jim Ross, that he said, if I ever want to miss the abuse that I got from the WWE, I'm sure people, my family members, could ridicule me and make me feel like I did back in those days.
It's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, he's a pretty good guy. I mean, you know.
Really? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a pretty good guy.
Seemed like a dick when I met him.
But he never smiles. He never smiles when you're at the fanfare.
Well,
he comes to the fanfare.
Yeah.
He never smiles in the picture.
Smiles when I look at him.
And I hate to tell this, but his goatee does not match his face. I mean, if you look at his goatee, I swear it looks like it's so big and round, it's unreal.
It makes him, it's like the evil Spock. It's like, you know, Spock is, you know, that's Spock. But he's got a goatee, it's evil Spock. It's
uh-huh.
like,
yeah,
JR, he's got a goatee. That's not the real JR, it's evil JR. Do you think Jim Ross intro was replaced by an evil twin from another galaxy?
Well, you know, I've heard Brian Kendrick talk about reptilians. But I think this one is highly possible. He could be just evil Jim Ross.
Clinton brings up a good theory here. Jack needs to pick a different Disney ride. Intra's been riding the Haunted Mansion. Yeah.
What does that even mean?
The Haunted? You've been riding the Haunted Mansion?
I've never been to Disney.
I know, but you've been to my penis.
No, I haven't.
Alright, Carol, we got so many callers here, we're going to get to somebody else, but you can stay in the line if you like, alright?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll just call back later on.
Alright, we got Jimmy Forte. We got Dirty Deeds, Jimmy, on the line.
What's up, man? Just call me Forte from now on. There's too many Jimmys.
You don't want
I don't
to
like
Jim. With Jimmy. We got Forte on the line. We got Dirty Deeds, Forte on the line.
There is a lot I want to talk about, but I'm kind of fast, so... Hey, listen, WrestleMania main event. All right, WrestleMania main event, right? Hear me out.
I'm here.
Three-way match, which I don't normally like, but
like
Cena versus Orton versus Bryan. But have everyone in each person's corner, right? Hogan and Cena's, Roddy Piper in Orton's, and Shawn Michaels and Bryan's.
Yeah, I'm not digging it. What do you think, Intra?
I'm such a fan of not liking... Three ways. I don't know what that means.
But that will bring everything together.
I'm so elated to not like these matches. I don't want to see that on WrestleMania. I don't think it would be very good. It's kind of like the WrestleMania 2000 where they had a McMahon in every corner. It's like you just had too much hijinks going on.
Yeah, no, that's different, though. But they bring everyone together for WrestleMania 30. I like Jack's idea with fucking Hogan and Cena, but Hogan's 60, dude. I don't think he can pull out the match.
Brother, and they come out there and he flex and they do tests of strength. Mm-hmm. They push off. They do some shoulder tackles. You know what? Go back. Just recently, he had that match with Sting, both old men, and you know what? The place loved it. And this would be on a bigger scale, a grander scale, the granddaddy of them all. The showcase of the immortals, WrestleMania, not just WrestleMania, but the 30th anniversary of WrestleMania.
And
people will come in droves and they will see John Cena, the man of the 2000s, the man of this era. He is known as the Hulk Hogan of his era versus the Hulk Hogan of his own era because he is Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, but can Hulk Hogan even get to the ring, dude? Because it's a long stage.
It
I don't know. It's not arced, but I'm just saying.
You bring him out there on a ring, just like at WrestleMania 30 when Andre the Giant came to the ring.
You see, Hulk Hogan.
He's 60 years old, man.
Hulk Hogan is like an old car, an old classic, and he had a new engine dropped into his engine block, and he was. There's more life about him now because. Dixie Carter got down on her knees and begged him to stay with her company, and then he left anyways. So he's a new man.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and they can do a good build-up to it, but I don't think the match would be good. I don't think he can perform.
But I don't think Jack's really saying that he's going to come out and wrestle a match. I think he's saying, like...
Well, the crowd's gonna root for Hogan, just like they did in the Hogan-Rock match. You know that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, can he perform and, like, can he actually do it?
Well,
I don't know.
I think he goes
ask
there,
Bubba's wife if he can perform.
They say, Hogan, we're going to do this match. He's already got in shape because he's thinking about it. He can go out there, he can pull off one match. He ain't going to take a bunch of bumps. One match, his last match in his career. Send him off on a high note, on hot.
Well, then you know he's going to lose that.
Of course he should lose. He should lose versus John Cena. He shouldn't beat John Cena. And you
right. Well, then why would that be good, then, if we know the ending?
It doesn't matter. You know what? People knew Andre the Giant was going to lose. Why would Andre the Giant, this old guy at the end of his career, beat Hulk Hogan?
He lasted a lot more WrestleMania, though, but
all right. Hulk Hogan, the guy that was the man and would be the man for years. People knew. They knew. They said, you know what? If I really think about this, Hulk Hogan's got to win. But it sold out a friggin' stadium. They said, I'm going to see this match. They would want to see it. Hulk Hogan. WrestleMania 30, John Cena. Now, people in the know will think, well, you know what? Well, obviously John Cena's going to win because the man's 60. But people don't think like that. Not everyone's the dreaded IWC incher. Some people just want to watch and have fun. And they say, oh, my God, Hulk Hogan, I grew up watching the man. And he's wrestling John Cena, who is the man now.
Maybe there'd be a swerve or something, dude, where they actually had Hulk Hogan win. I mean, the fucking Miz beat Brock in the WrestleMania, didn't he?
No.
And who the fuck the Miz?
No.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So maybe, you know, he can do anything.
That never happened.
Didn't the Miz beat John Cena?
He doesn't have to win. John Cena beats him. Some bad guys run in. They're all going to beat these people's asses. They get up, shake hands, they clean house, they look at each other.
Yeah.
But then they start flexing. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, I'm like a little kid again. I'm watching this.
Nah, that doesn't sound good to me, dude.
Put
Hogan and Cena at
a three-way match with a bunch of...
Yes, I know. It sounds stupid, but put all the fucking guys back in that were in WrestleMania 1, dude. Have Hogan and Cena's side. Have Piper and Orton's side. Who Orton's father was in the goddamn match with them. And then have fucking Michaels with Bryan.
My champion. Versus Hulk Hogan, the man who put WrestleMania on the map. We made event at the first seven.
Exactly. So you're just going to have him go out and lose?
Here's Hulk Hogan, and it's not just a WrestleMania. It's not just WrestleMania 21, 27, 29. No! It's WrestleMania 30, XXX, because it is the 30th anniversary of WrestleMania. WrestleMania, Hulkamania, Hulk Hogan, WWF. It's all synonymous. One more time. The Hulkster.
That's right, and I would like to say.
I like the Hulkster too, but I mean that would be an obvious. He's going to get his ass beat.
I would like to say though, in answer to your question, who is the Miz? Well, he's Kofi Kingston's buddy.
Yeah, that's another thing I wanted to get to. Actually, if I can get Jack off his high horse, there. I don't think you're a Satanist, dude, because I have a fucking devil tattoo, and I'm not a Satanist. If anyone called me that, I'd be pissed. You know, I'm a Catholic boy, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. What do you have to say?
Well, do you have one more thing? Because we do have many callers here.
All right. It seems like there's different writers, though. You're right, about the whole Kofi and Miz thing, right? All right, they kidnapped Daniel Bryan, right? On that Raw or whatever. And then the lights went off, and they came back on, and Daniel Bryan staring them both in the face. Harper and whatever the other dude's name is, right? They should have had fucking Bryan hanging from his legs in the middle of the ring from a rope. And the other dude, who's not Harper, should have been hitting him with a lamb without the head, and he should have been wearing a lamb mask like a piñata or something. You know what I'm saying? They should have done something cool instead of just, oh, they dropped Daniel Bryan off in a parking lot, and that'll cover that storyline. Why would they kidnap him, and then there's nothing?
I mean, they obviously want to bury the dude, so why didn't they have him all tied up and have, like, one of them, like, you know, having their way with him? That would bury. But I get what you're saying. Why don't they have something cool instead of just saying he was dropped off in a parking lot?
Exactly. Enter.
Mm-hmm. It's like they could have had some sort of vignette. So. Like Ken Shamrock could have found him.
It's bad writing, man. It's really bad. And what's with Kane? He's a horrible talker. It put me to sleep, and I'm an insomniac. So I watched the beginning of Raw, and I went to sleep after the Saints got their ass beat in football. So I just went to sleep and didn't watch the rest of it. And then I woke up some points and just saw, like, bullshit, and it was just like, fuck this. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Wrestling's long and boring a lot of weeks, but... I don't know. I got
Jack worked up. I know. But I'm just saying. Come on.
Oh, I'm sure he's fine. He might have had to just step aside to take care of something. I don't think he's angry with you. But,
pissed.
Are you pissed?
Pissed, BM.
Why? Why would I? I don't think I pissed you off. I'm just saying.
I thought those obviously was no piss.
He's not pissed. He loves you.
All right. The Hulk Hogan and Cena would be great. I would love it too.
See. All right, Forte. Thank you for calling in. You're good.
All right, 5 minutes.
Sure you don't want to give him Rookie of the Year now that he agrees with you?
No, he talks too fast.
Wore you out, did he?
No, it's kind of boring. But we've got Bob on the line!
How are y'all guys doing tonight?
Doing good, Bob. Doing good. It's good to hear you again.
Yes, they done let me off the prison. I am a free man now.
What were you in jail for? I forgot already.
Fondling a pig. And they done gave me 9 months in prison.
Oh, damn, Bob.
And I'm a free man.
They give you 9 months in prison for that? Jack, you better watch out. That's right.
I know, I might be losing the inch band for 9 months. Sad times. Incher, if you were going to have sexual intercourse with any farm animal, which would you pick?
It'd probably be your mom. Oh, how's that? You like that, Jack?
I don't know, but I remember talking to your mom.
Jack, let's get serious here. We got Bob on the phone, and he was put away for 9 months, and he is here, and he is ready to talk some wrestling.
I want to talk about Big E Langston's inner thighs. They are the most disgusting things I've ever seen.
Well, what was this? I'm sorry.
He's wanting to talk about Big E Langston's inner thighs.
Yeah, I've heard this was this came up in the chat room that he has very dirty inner thighs.
Dirty?
He needs to what? He needs a good bar of soap. Clean that shit up.
Do you think it's dirty or do you think it's not shaved properly?
Probably a bit of both.
We'll see if it's on shape properly, then it would pick up dirt, isn't sure?
Mm-hmm. So it's like, I guess it would be a hard place to reach whenever you're just jacked to the gills like he is. So it's like, could somebody else shave his inner thighs or something? Nope. Or soap him down?
If part of paying your dues, you're working for WWE, let's say you're like an up-and-comer, and they say, you got to get in there and wash Big E Langston's inner thighs.
They wouldn't have to get me to do it. JBO would probably do it for nothing. He likes soaping people's asses. JBO would be like, come here, Big E Langston. Sure. I'll wash your inner thighs. That's funny. Hey, you see my broomsticks trick? That's kind of a tongue twister.
I don't understand people's fascination with Big E Langston.
Apparently, his inner thighs are dirty.
He has a small head and all. A big body and a small head.
You know, I think he's taking a great offense to this, Bob.
Hmm. Well, I can beat him up.
I don't know, Bob.
Take him.
He's probably more scrappier than the guy who owns the family wrestling promotion.
Probably.
Hmm.
All right, guys, I'll...
Bob's tapping out.
Tapping out, right?
Ran out of material, Bob? I'm sure you got some more in there.
I think you're a good caller, Bob. Now, do you think if he would wash those inner thighs better, do you think he would be a bigger star?
Sure. Why not?
What if, like, his new gimmick is he soaps up his inner thighs when he comes out instead of, like, slapping his hands together with the chalk?
What if he used the if his finisher would be, like, a head scissors?
And people would just die from the stench. So if his inner thighs stink, I guess his crotch stinks, too. So.
Man.
Imagine receiving
Bob, you are ruining Big E Langston's game altogether here.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to be in between those thighs when you're receiving a pile driver or a power bomb. It's the smelliest, stinkiest shit ever. I don't know.
Well, thank you, Bob. You're a good man. You're always bringing the facts here. Appreciate it.
Sure. Of course.
Talk to you soon.
All right, guys. See you.
All right, let's see here. We've got Shaheen on the line.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. How you doing?
I was doing better before I heard about this guy fucking pigs, but I don't know. Is he serious?
Nah, he's not serious.
I can't tell with his voice. Nah, I think he's serious. Maybe he should. I think he got. I don't
All right,
know.
You got
he,
us.
He was
he's
serious.
Totally serious. Tell him, Jake.
Oh, man.
So what's your serious. Mind in the world of wrestling, Mr. Shaheen?
Man, I hate to be negative every time I call, man, but fuck, man. Kane in a suit, man. Is this guy going to wrestle in a suit?
Kane and Suit Kane. What do you think about Suit Kane, Incher? Mr. Kane.
Mr. Kane. I guess it's... All right, that he's departing from Kane, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, I wonder what Mrs. Big Red Machine thinks about Suit Kane. Is she still a Kane fan?
Do you think she's still getting, like, all wet and hot over him?
What? You need some saltpeter or something. What's the deal with you? Anytime a female's brought up, you start talking about them getting
That's
wet.
What she... Hey, everyone knows that Mrs. Big Red Machine gets sexually excited when she sees Kane on TV. And
well, I don't recall her calling in and saying I get sexually excited anytime I see Kane on TV.
It's common knowledge.
It's not common knowledge.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Huh.
I think I've won that argument.
My white flag is up, sir. I surrender.
Yeah, I don't...
Man.
I don't...
Like, I can't imagine him wrestling without... Like, I mean, he's not going to come in with the regular, you know, Kane outfit.
She has a Kane tattoo. Do you think she's gonna, like, on the other arm, she's just going to get, like, this guy in, like, a suit?
I don't know. That would be a pretty shitty tattoo. Just like Kane in the suit.
It's not even like a very well fitting suit.
Nah. You'd think they'd spring, you know, chip in a few extra bucks and get him a good suit.
Yeah, we can have a tuxedo match every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know what I thought? What else was funny, man? You know how they have Cena and Orton, you know, wrestling for the, I don't know, what is it, 200th time? It's funny how they just show the clips of all the times these guys wrestled, and every time Cena beat him, it's like, why the fuck would anybody want to watch this? Obviously, he's going to beat him again, just like the last 20 times. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he beat him every time, right?
Mm, yeah. I can't really recall to say if Cena beat him every time, but I'd say he probably did.
Yeah, but I mean, from the footage, they showed like 7 different matches, and all the clips, it's just Cena beating the shit out of him. I mean, I shouldn't say beating the shit out of him, doing this, you know, fucking 2 moves.
Now, I remember the clip where he just solemnly says, no. You remember that match, the I Quit match, Jack?
Yes.
That was, I remember us bitching about it back in the day.
Yeah, it was just like not, it was like the passion of the Cena. It was just...
That's what you called it, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was just like they're crucifying Cena for like the half hour. It's kind of weird, like a torture fetish video or something. It's very weird. It wasn't really just him being like bound and like.
That's probably his same response when one of the Bellas asks him if he wants pancakes. He just goes, "No."
I'll tell you something, Jack. God.
So I guess he's a prophet now.
Yes.
A WWE prophet.
Well, they treat him like one. He's sitting there talking down to Randy Orton. He's like...
And what do you think about that? Randy Orton's just standing there selling this shit, and Cena's like smiling. I'm like, fuck, man, come on, man. This guy is... Like, that's what pisses me off about him, because his I don't know, his facial expressions just like speak to, you know, I don't want to say like the fucking the marks, but like, you know, the people that... You know, are really actually into wrestling. You know, like, I think he just does shit like that on purpose just to piss us off, you know? I can't stand him.
He doesn't
just smirks
sell
the camera,
very well.
Like, yeah, they beat my dad. Who gives a shit? You know I'm Super Cena.
Yeah, he doesn't put over anybody else's promo very well. He just always just kind of smirks and has this, like, a laughing face. Like, I don't care. I mean... Oh, why can't he get, like, upset a little bit or a little bit afraid of somebody or something? I don't know. He just won't do it. He's John Cena, and he's Superman.
Yeah, I seen this little kid earlier, man. One of my friends' kids, he's into wrestling, really, and he was wearing John Cena everything, man, and I literally thought about punting this kid. I can't stand the shit.
You can't stand those little bastards. You just want to tell them. You're like, don't you know John Cena just sucks? You just want to say...
Yeah, it's kind of terrible.
Don't you know anything about the original ECW and how great it was? You little Mark.
If John Cena came out in the 90s, he would be like Paul Roma.
Mm-hmm.
That would be John Cena.
I really think a lot of the guys, if they came around in the 90s, wouldn't be anything...
You mean Dolph Ziggler wouldn't be around?
I don't really think, no.
No, he wouldn't be around. No way.
He couldn't even be like a Steve Blackman?
He'd be maybe like a job guy, because he'd be real small and he can't talk at all.
Like Daniel Bryan, there's no way he would have been able to make it to WWE in, you know, like, I don't know, early 90s, mid-90s. There's no way. Maybe in the Attitude Era, but even then, he'd probably be wrestling Taka Michinoku and shit.
Hell yeah, indeed.
Yeah, but, I know you guys were talking about Chris Hero earlier, and about he may have been pissed that some other guys got a shot before him.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, they could have used him instead of Bray Wyatt. He has beard, he probably would have been...
He really has nobody to blame but himself. I mean, pick a fucking weight up, dude. I mean, get some sort of a build on you, my man. You look like a... I don't know, like just a cheese pizza or something. It's all saggy. It's just like, you gotta wear a shirt. I mean, come on. You're a professional wrestler.
Bray Wyatt's not in the best shape.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, he's a tubby dude, but he's just a fat dude. With a bad
he's terrible with the ring, man. That guy is fucking horrible.
Yeah, he is the real shits.
He's really bad, man. Like, all of them were pretty bad, which is, you know, I liked them, but goddamn, man. For pay-per-views, if they're going to start pushing these guys, man, we're going to have some terrible pay-per-views. you know?
Yeah, and it's, well, there have been, like, they have some guys that can really go, but the, yeah. I don't know, pay-per-views have been just the shits lately.
I guess Chris Hero doesn't have the luxury of being, like, a third-generation wrestler, so, you know, he needs to stand out better. Yeah, I mean, it sucks, but that's just how it is in the WWE. Gotta eat the big steak.
That is true. What do you guys think about the barfing and the puking?
Terrible.
Like, why? Why is that necessary? What did they accomplish through that?
Vince must have watched me on the mat, and he was like, oh, I need that character puke. So he's bringing it back now.
And, you know, Titus O'Neil, I don't see the big deal about this guy. Like, if you actually watch the footage where he was throwing up on Michael Cole and JBL, there's a part where he's supposed to go behind the desk where they're sitting, and he just makes it so obvious that he's just like, he wasn't just stumbling across and just sat down. He literally just went over there and just sat down. I'm like, you guys, he's not a good actor. You didn't pull it off. Like, if you guys actually watch the SmackDown part, you'll still understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. And then, you know, him throwing up on Michael Cole, like, why? What is the purpose? I thought this guy was a fucking face, you know? Why is he throwing up on Michael Cole?
No. They're just trying to find something to do with it.
Oh, they were all proud of it. Like, Darren Young's, like, slapping him on. He's, like, rubbing his nipples and slapping him on.
He was rubbing nipples?
He puked on the guy. And I'm like, why would they be proud of that?
Maybe Darren's into that.
Why would these grown dudes be like, yep, I puked on another grown man. Hell yeah. I'm a badass now. I just think you're a friggin' weirdo. It would be something I'd be ashamed of. I wouldn't be proud of puking on somebody. Intra, if you just started puking on the Big Mosh, like, would you be proud of that?
Well, I think you would be, wouldn't you?
I'd be like rubbing your nipple like Darren Young, and be like, yeah,
you go, Intra. Do it every other time I see you.
I don't think Darren Young is rubbing any nipples, man. He's rubbing balls. Every time Titus O'Neil barfs, he just grabs a dick.
He's barfing on the cock.
Oh, man. Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on, Jack. Got some.
I always like to take it one step over the line.
Yeah, that was a couple steps.
One step over the line.
Hey, before I leave, man, when do you think Triple H is wrestling again? Not that I'm looking forward to it, but I mean, I thought he was going to wrestle Big Show pretty soon, or you know, get it. I think they're going to put the belt on him eventually.
I don't think so. I think he's all done in the main events.
I hope so.
I kind of hope so too. I mean, I don't even hate Big Show. It's just like you're just so bored of him.
Yeah.
Do they got an angle worked up for him for the next pay-per-view?
I don't think so.
He just gets a title shot and pulls a jobber.
That was such a stellar showing. We'll just give you nothing for the next pay-per-view.
The guy's broke, and then inexplicably he's okay again. Now he goes for the title, loses it, and now it's just back to...
just back to old Big Show.
It's just really shitty storytelling.
Yeah, he's going to wrestle Ziggler in the pre-show.
Maybe he could be buddies with Kofi Kingston.
That would be a hell of a team.
Yeah.
All right, Gene, thank you for calling in. You are a good man.
All right, man. Take care. Right. Bye.
Let's see here. Man, he's getting pissed, Incher.
Is he getting... piss
and angsty. Here
he's
we go.
Pissed off. Well, being pissed off's better than being pissed on.
Depends who you are. Depends on your point of view. We have old Jim out of jam. Oh, him at a ha. Oh, him out of ha. Old Jim out of jam. Someone.
Hey, Jack. Hey, Incher.
Jiminy Jam. I hear that you are the man, and you have watched a lot of wrestling.
Yes, and I also did, after SmackDown on Friday, I checked out the WWE's 50 years of history, someone posted the whole DVD on YouTube, so I watched it on YouTube.
You totally bootlegged that.
Hell nope, yeah. I just watched it from YouTube. Someone put it on YouTube, so I just watched it.
Well, I can't blame you, Jimmy Jam, but I'm pretty sure the WWE didn't want that. But anyhow, what'd you think of it?
It was great. A lot of stuff talking about all the generations of the McMahons running the company.
Mm-hmm. Was there any of them that they were just like, and this guy, he ran it for a little bit, and he wasn't much of anybody?
Yeah.
Who was the Fredo in the McMahon family?
Vince's grandfather.
Nah, they didn't like him very much. He ran it into the ground. Jack?
A lot of stories. And a lot of matches.
Mm.
You get like almost the whole thing of matches and just about like 10 minutes of stories of the extras.
Yeah, I'd like to see that DVD, but I haven't been out picking up the WWE DVDs recently. They kind of went away from the long documentaries and stuff, and I kind of lost interest in them when that happened. But
yeah, I like the documentary aspect of that.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see what was the one? The Mid-South DVD? That sounds kind of neat to see. But
yeah, I'd like to see that as well.
Mm-hmm. I read the thing in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated that something about like a Crockett DVD that's about to come out. Like, it's talking about, the NWA and all that. Sounds
yeah,
pretty good.
I saw that at FanFest.
Oh, you did? What do you think about it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's kind of depressed. That was the one we went to, we saw the screening of, and then afterwards, George South was like, dang, I got to go listen to some Journey now.
That'll pick me right up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
Is anyone going to check out the Raw DVD set that just came out yesterday?
I didn't know nothing about it. Actually, I did think I see the commercial, but no, I haven't checked it out.
I'm going to check it out when it's used.
Yeah, it was cheap.
Get it when it's cheap.
I think it's
Amazon.
Like 20 discs in this whole box set.
Mm-hmm. 20 discs of nothing but pure entertainment.
I am pumped.
Hell yeah.
Nah.
See, from the early days of Raw to current.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like them to put out, like, some Starcades or something. Like, just release a series of that. Just keep
putting
them out.
They did the Starcade set.
Just put out a bunch of, like, the actual show, like, in its entirety. Instead of just clips and matches and stuff.
Do it to it.
Get to it, WWE.
Like they did with the War Game set with all the War Game matches.
Mm-hmm. War Games.
So, interest. If they did a War Games 2014, who do you want in it?
I want The Miz, and I definitely want Kofi Kingston in it. Mm-hmm. And I want, who else? The Big Show, because they're buddies now.
Mm-hmm. Sweet Tea,
Claudio Castagnoli, or what's his name now? Antonio Cesaro.
Just the whole roster.
Yes. I don't know. Who do you think would work well in that match?
I think teams of five striving to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Have a Survivor Series style War Games match?
It is. Well, they're not elimination. It's just down to one guy submits, gives up.
Or surrender.
There you go. Submit or surrender, Incher. Submit or surrender.
All right. Neither.
Um, guys, I heard WWE Classics is though close its doors at the on January 31st.
Who is?
Yep. WWE Classics, the on-demand stuff.
Oh, yeah, well, you're starting up that new network, networking it up.
So they're actually going to do it.
I contacted my cable company, and they said they are probably they'll carry it. Since they did Classics, they probably don't have both the network version and the on-demand version of the WWE Network.
Mm-hmm. See? Now, Incher, are you going to be watching Horse Cops?
I don't know what I'm agreeing to watch here. What am I watching?
It's some kind of new show with Kurt Angle called Horse Cops.
Horse Cops? Oh, that sounds terrible.
They play cops on horseback.
TNA pay this man some more money so he ain't got to do this bullshit. Horse cops.
I'm
like, are you going to be watching Horse Cocks? And I'm like, what? I don't think I will be, Jack.
Horse Cock star in Das Wunderkind
and Two Cold Scorpion.
What are you going to do when Horse Cocks is after you? Let me be all over that. Horse Cops. Tale of Equestria.
I think I'd rather see Horse Cops.
I really did enjoy the Dave Selva interview earlier in the show.
Well, thank you, Jimmy Jam. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. I had a good time. He was a good dude.
If he was to be on, you would all take calls for that. So ask him, how did it feel to battle against your own brother? How we have it 94?
That was a hell of a match. That was the year I graduated, Incher.
Mm-hmm.
It's the year I became a man. Yeah, this is the year of the horse. Oh. Alright, Jim and Jam, you're a good man. You're a good dude. You're doing it to it. And we will talk to you very soon.
Alright.
Jim on a ham, a ham and a ham. Oh, Jim on a jam. Oh, ham and a ham. Oh, ham and a ham. Oh, Jim on a jam.
Kurt Angle's in Horse Cocks?
Speaking of Horse Cocks, we got Swax on the line.
What's going on?
Doing it to it.
It's been a long time.
What's going on, boy?
Nothing. Just keeping busy.
Keeping it busy.
Keeping it busy.
Trying to stay out of trouble, mostly.
Right. Good man. He's listening to the Incher. Staying out of trouble and keeping his nose clean.
Keeping your inner thighs clean.
Yep.
Who noticed that?
Bob.
I keep my inner thighs clean like Brutus Clay's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to. What?
No. I'm not sure why I agreed, but okay.
Alright. So, Swax, what's up?
Boost.
I want to take a nap.
Boost, everybody in a heady boost, please wish my baby, Brooke Kessmacher, a happy birthday today.
Happy birthday, Brooke Kessmacher.
Happy birthday, ass. Talk to her ass.
Yep.
Like,
today is her birthday.
Jack, I know one thing. Her ass is talking to me.
Oh, yeah? What's this?
Mm-hmm. It says, bring your horse cock over here. I say, whoa, Nelly.
Yep.
Yep.
But also, I want to talk about this unified title situation.
Mm-hmm. That's now, on all the WWE Universe's minds.
Now, let's think of it. They're going to have this one title, world title, in the company. Mm-hmm. And since they're going to have only one world title in the company, that means there's going to be a small select of people that's always going to fight for it. And I feel that by WrestleMania, because it's just going to only be one champion in the company.
There you go.
Oh, it'll be better because you want one champion. When I watched WWF as a child, I didn't say, holy shit, there's Hulk Hogan, there's Rick Rude, we got two, we go, who's the champ? No, I said, there's Hulk Hogan, he's champion.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I was watching the NWA, I said, there's Ric Flair, he's the champion. Fast forward to the 90s, I'm watching WWE, WWF, the action, I say, there's still Cold Steve Austin, he's the champion. And then I go over to WCW, I say, there's Hartwood, he's strumming the belt, because he's the champion! I didn't say, oh God, this guy's a champ, this guy's a champ, there's two titles, and then one of the titles has to open the card because they're so degraded that it's not even important, but they have to get it on the show, so they gotta ramrod it in there and open up the show with the title. No! There was one champion!
Mm-hmm.
I go all the way back to 1900, and there was freaking George Hackenschmidt, and he was the champion! Luthes was the champion. Harley Race. One champion. Not 50 champions. Not two world champions for one show. No.
No.
One champion. And if you're going to tell me, well, these other guys, they're not going to get the chance at the belt. The Jack Swaggers and the Alberto Del Rios and all these bullshit. Well, good. Because having the belt on every single guy in the company makes the belt worthless. It doesn't make it special. Just because some guy's good or some guy's loyal to the company doesn't mean that he should get a title run. No, it doesn't. What person? If you're big enough, if you're a big enough star, if you're a big enough guy to the crowd, if people buy to see you, one guy, the best. The best should be the champion. One man. Not two. One man, keep it special. You could go back and you think all these great guys who were so good but were not quite ready to be the world champion. Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. Rick Rude. Rick Martel is this big line of guys. Hot Rod, Rowdy Roddy Piper is never the champion of WWE. Now you could say everybody, friggin' bunch of schmucks that no one gives a shit about. Jack Swagger was champion. Who gives a fuck about him? Nobody! Because there should be one champion. And if you're not good enough to be the champion, too bad! You shouldn't be the champ! One champion, it's more important. The pay-per-view, there'll be one main event because there'll be one champion. There won't be an open match belt and a world belt and all this bullshit. One champion! That's all you need! Any more does not make it better. It makes it worse. One champion, and sure.
I agree with you, Jack.
Yeah, I agree with you, but when it comes to being one champion in the company and the huge roster that's in the WWE.
Champions.
What are they going to do with all these people now that there's only going to be one world championship belt?
Put them out on their ass.
It's not good enough, then get out. Step aside, schmuck. One champion.
Dude, I think by WrestleMania.
Do you need Alberto Del Rio versus Christian title match on a pay-per-view? No! That's not important. You want one world title match. Otherwise, the other match is second tier. It's not as important. It's bullshit. One champion. That's all you need. That's how wrestling always was, and that's the way it should be. When I was a child, I could name the champions from Bruno Sammartino on. I can't now. You think could anyone out there name all champions in a row? No. One champion. That's all you need. And if there's too many people, screw them. If they're not good enough to be the number one guy, they're not good enough. You shouldn't be. Not everyone should be. There's one guy who is the man, and that's the way it always has been, and that's the way it always should be. It does not make the pay-per-views better when there's two championship matches. It makes them worse. Does it make the TV show better? One champion. There also shouldn't be an IC and a U.S. champion.
Do you think they should get rid of SmackDown now that's one champion?
No, why? There was SmackDown when there was one champion before.
Mm-hmm. Well, SmackDown was around for like 2 or 3 years before they, you know, came out with the heavyweight championship belt.
Every TV show doesn't need a champion. You got one champion. You got multiple shows. It's just the way it's always been. One champion. It's all you need.
There you go.
Do you think they should come out with the
cruiserweight
title?
The champions now aren't even relegated to one show. They're not SmackDown exclusive and Raw exclusive. They go back and forth. It makes no difference. You just need one guy, one champion. That's it.
Do you think they should bring out the cruiserweight title now?
Cruiserweight title just pigeonholes a guy as being a cruiserweight, which makes him not as important as the rest of the guys. I think once you're labeled the cruiserweight WWE, it's a kiss of death, and you'll never be as important as anybody else.
I think
if Shawn Michaels would have been delegated as a cruiserweight guy, you'd never been the man he was. The only guy that ever broke out of the cruiserweight division in WWF was Rey Mysterio.
Now think of this, Jack. What if they got rid of the United States Championship and got the Cruiserweight Championship in?
Cruiserweight sucks. I'm totally against the Cruiserweight division.
You wouldn't get rid of the United States title.
It will never be pushed in WWE, and anyone who's in it is seen as second tier, not as good as the other wrestlers. So it's not good to have. And yes, they should get rid of the U.S. belt. They just need one secondary title, one world title, a tag team title, and a women's title. That's all they need. The other titles, is just too much. You can't get them all on pay-per-view. They become unimportant. Right now, the belts are probably the least important they've ever been. More titles just going to make them worse. There's no need for them.
No. I think there's going to be a lot of releases now that
if you're not good enough to be on the show, then you shouldn't be there.
The less titles, the better, Swax. Less titles.
Yeah, and these other guys put some importance on the IC title. Then these guys that aren't good enough to go for the world title can fight it out for the IC title. That's the point of it.
What about having a Divas tag team?
No! More title sucks. You don't need one woman's belt's more than enough. None of them are worth the shit.
What about a Divas Intercontinental title?
They should have a Divas Intercontinental, a tag team, a six-man tag, a European Divas title. Yeah. I think every roster member should have their own title.
Divas European title.
There'd be every match would be for a title, I think.
I think Oksana would wear the European title.
Oksana. Yeah, it's probably.
I'm done. that is it. I want to thank everyone for listening to the show. Yvette Sullivan, thank you for coming on. Insure, you're a good man.
Thank you, sir. I love you too, my man.
I'm done. Once people start saying Oksana should have a title.
that there should be another title created so Oksana, the great talent Oksana,
the Oksana belt,
have a title. It's, I'm just going to no longer talk about wrestling.
Alrighty.
What's the Summer Rae wear?
Oh, God.
We're done, Slax. Bye-bye. See you all.
This is Scott Flash Norton. You're listening. InYourHeadOnline.com. You change that channel, and I'll come and hunt you down.